You're listening to a Radio Free Cybertron commentary.
Welcome to the Radio Free Cybertron commentary for Transformers Dark of the Moon. If you've listened to our previous commentaries, we're sorry. Today, it's going to be myself, JD. We have XV, we have Nicole, and we have Paladin with us. So it's sort of like a half fanboy versus half superhero time doing an RFC show.
Yay! And we're
sorry. Well, that sounded kind of awkward.
It did.
If you look at it like this, like I'm not on RFC anymore, but I'm still doing New Soundwave, so it's kind of like the superhero time, New Soundwave, fanboy versus RFC conglomeration.
There you go. It's the TF Radio Network, people. Anyway,
it's like the Thanksgiving dinner of the podcasting world. There you go. We got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we've got it.
You got the side dishes, and here's your main course.
Right.
Except there's a small chance it won't end in massive vomiting.
It's an epic podcasting crossover event.
Right. All of those things in mind, this is going to be the Dark of the Moon commentary. We're going to be starting right at the play button, so get your DVD, computer, iPad, Kindle Fire device thing set up and ready.
Reel-to-reel, torrent,
whatever device you may use, ideally paid for. And let us begin in 3, 2, 1. All right. Paramount bringing us Transformers Dark of the Moon.
That's what we're watching?
Damn. No, I'm sorry. This is Dark of the Moon. Right.
I have my Killer Clowns from Outer Space in here. Shoot.
Oh. So I got Apollo 18.
Actually, that's close enough. Just go with let's go with that.
Except there's rock lobsters instead of robots.
Did that ever actually come out on DVD? I never heard of anything about it after like the second week it was in theaters.
Did it come out?
It hasn't come out yet. Has it?
So
Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, Dark of the Moon. Hey, look, it's War for Cybertron.
I actually like the look of Cybertron on here.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the honeycomb thing.
I actually like
honeycomb
it.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
chunky.
You know. I feel like I want like a small bee to be advertising. Not Bumblebee, but you know.
Yeah, fuck Bumblebee by this point.
Yeah.
A small bee, he's everywhere.
Mm. That is the weirdest gun mount. I don't know why they don't just have a rear mounted gun. You'd think it would be easier to put a rear mounted gun.
What I
want
to know is why nobody has any color or alt mode.
That's a good question as well.
Camouflage. They're at war. It's camouflage.
Right. Cybertron is kind of bland, so wouldn't they want to blend?
That would imply there's some logic to this Transformers universe, which I've seen no evidence of so far.
Right.
Now, did you notice? I just always thought it was camouflage. That's just...
Yeah. There you go. So that missile is basically the same missile from the 86 movie, though. That's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
I guess they forgot to invert polarities, though.
Right. If they only would have done that. Well, see, they didn't have Cup with them. See?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was off chasing the petrol rabbits.
Right. Ickyaks and things. But so, yeah. I don't know. On some level, I think I appreciate that they tried to turn the space race into, you know, this sort of race to get to the moon, to get to the alien stuff. I don't know how well that works logically, but whatever.
Because conspiracy theory just really adds to the plot in this thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it just seems a little cliche to me.
Yeah. Well, and especially...
On the other hand, look who this came out of.
Well, here's... And the confusing bit for me is, like, wouldn't Sector 7 have gotten involved in this at some point? I mean, surely this would not have gone.
Sector who? Never heard of that before.
Yeah, remember that thing that only mattered in the first movie? Yeah. Those people.
They're ripping off Forrest Gump.
Yeah. This kind of bothered me a little bit because it was just like they tried to put in this Kennedy video, but it's so like awkward.
How is it possible that their John F. Kennedy looks more fake than the Cybertron scenes?
How is it possible their Kennedy looks more fake than the real Kennedy?
Yeah, that's really the crux of the problem.
Yeah, I got a question. Did you, any of you see this in 3D in the theaters?
Yeah,
I did.
Okay,
it was bitching.
I thought the 3D really worked with this movie.
Yeah, it was good.
It was the first.
It was very surprising.
It was the first I've seen with the modern 3D technology, and watching this on DVD now, I can't say I missed it at all.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of the thing, isn't it? It's like I saw it in 3D in the film, in the theater, and that was really great. But watching it otherwise, I don't feel like I'm missing it, you know?
I mean,
it's not. Yeah.
You could sense the depth with the 3D, but it wasn't like it was anything special or extraordinary to it.
I thought the best parts was when they were actually on the moon and they have like the debris coming at you. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing you need to do with the 3D. It needs to be gimmicky because, you know, there's no real point to 3D if you're not exploiting the fact that you can have stuff flying at the audience.
Right.
And there's the disappearing, reappearing lunar lander.
Right. Not to mention that the lunar lander actually skipped over its actual landing point and landed somewhere else. So the fact that anyway, this doesn't make any sense. But we're just going to go with their plan was to land in that spot all along so they'd be right next to the alien ship, even though they were supposed to be like a few miles away.
And yet they could still get there and back in under 15 minutes.
Right. Well, because it's the moon. You can jump, you know. But I think what we're doing is wrong here because it's a Michael Bay movie and you're not supposed to think really.
Well, that's what I was saying a minute ago. Look who this came out of.
Right, exactly. It's just like, you know.
I could say the same about you.
Right.
Well, yeah.
That's
conversation for a different show.
Right, that's a different thing. That's, yeah. See, Com 7? It says Com 7 back there. It's got to be part of Sector 7, right? No? Okay.
Division 6.
Yeah, it's the same number. It must be the same thing. It's about as logical as Bay can get.
Right, sure.
It's also about as subtle.
Right.
So 7's the number, right?
Right.
7's always the number.
So does that mean Vegas is also in the conspiracy with all their slot machines?
Yes.
Who do you think paid for it?
Exactly, that's where all of Sector 7's money comes from.
They own all the slot machines in Vegas. These are the things to know.
Yes. That's a lot of nickels.
Well, sure, the giant spaceship.
Yeah. You know what would be really cool is if it got in there and it was all eggs? And, no, that's a different movie. Sorry.
Yeah. It's been done.
Well, this has probably been done, too.
It was later this same year, yes.
I don't know how I didn't figure it out, but that's ahead. I didn't figure that out until, like, a couple viewings in.
Well, yeah, I kind of caught on to that the first time I saw it.
I don't know why I didn't. Probably because it's a Bayformer. And,
And you can't tell their head from their ass. Almost right, literally in some cases.
Right. It's a head that's not Optimus, even
but
though...
But it's trying to be Optimus.
It looks like Optimus.
Maybe it's a recycled prop.
Hey, that's actually very likely.
Except it kind of had a CG quality about it, though.
Almost. But this is recycled footage in this movie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we'll from a different movie series.
Right, from a different movie. We'll get to that point later.
All the parts that are notable about Dark of the Moon are the things that went wrong.
Right. If you're listening to this commentary for some sort of like behind-the-scenes insight, we have none, by the way.
And we're not sorry at all.
Not really. But
we are, however, in the sights of Behind Your Mom.
Right. Good things to know. The flag is waving. No? That's not. Huh? Oh, it's one of those moon conspiracy things. They say the flag was waving. Like, yeah. It's called gravity.
Called gravity and a wire.
Yeah. It happens. So there's actually a lot of stock footage in the beginning of this film.
Yeah, in a way, it's jarring. It kind of bugs me that they didn't, like, recreate more of it with, like, CGI.
Because that's cheap.
I don't care if it's cheap or not. I'm talking about what is more visually appealing for the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can make the excuse that they were trying to sort of put you in that time.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's just a jarring transition from the crisp, freshly shot and rendered stuff to... you know, the grainy old stock footage.
The real target audience won't care that much.
No.
No, I suspect not. But
and
being
then we go into the eye.
Being Transformers fans, we are not the intended target audience for this movie.
Which is ironic. I would
it was
think.
Ironic with the first movie. With the third movie, it's just like, eh, whatever.
Okay, well, there you go, kids.
Robots and explosions, woohoo.
So we go from piles of knives to a bag of hangers.
Right.
You just missed Rosie's best quality.
Right. You know, actually, though, she redeems herself by the end of this movie and actually turns out to be far more interesting than Megan Fox ever was. So,
and she, too, is just as realistic as their JFK.
Yeah. Dear God.
Rosie or Megan?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Why is there a bunny?
Because she got it as a gift for him, because
the scene has demeaning as possible to them.
Because it was cuter for her to walk up the stairs half naked with a rabbit.
As opposed to...
just half naked.
I guess it just depends what sort of movie you're going for.
Yeah, the movie with the half naked.
Girl. You know, to drive the direction of the scene the way this went, yes, there had to be the bunny there. To go a completely different way, no, the bunny is pretty optional.
Right. Well, hey, but she tears the leg off for him later, you know.
I'm surprised they didn't use like a My Little Pony or some other Hasbro plushie instead.
Hey, yeah, but then they don't get the rabbit foot joke later.
And yay, third fake president in a row.
God, that is true. This is the introductory thing, but how is it that he's like, it's supposed to be a secret that he did all this stuff, and yet the president gave him a medal, and what?
Well, they could explain that the medal is for some other notable deed he performed.
Is like it supposed to be secret? They talk about the Autobots on TV later.
Well, yeah, but I think like his level of involvement is, I think, still kind
of... That's not secret, because with Revenge of the Fallen, the Fallen was all over the TV. Everyone saw him.
Yeah.
So
light hacking
secret anymore.
I don't know. I thought they had tried to say that they had like covered some of that up or something. I don't know.
Smeg? I didn't notice that before.
Smeg?
On the refrigerator.
Oh, I didn't see it.
What the hell's a smeg, anyway?
Well,
obviously, you haven't watched enough Red Dwarf.
Apparently not.
I love that little guy. He's so cute.
Oh, yeah. The robot?
Yes.
His name escapes me for the moment.
It's not Einstein, is it? No, it's a...
Brains.
Brains, yeah.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I actually really liked the combination of him and Wheelie.
I think Wheelie improved 10 times in this movie.
Yeah, Wheelie's a lot more tolerable in this one, especially since he has, like, brains to play off of. It's a lot more interesting. Like, those two characters are pretty funny now. Now that he's not...
There's Bone Crusher.
My thing is, how did they get Megan Fox's dog? How did they end up with her dog?
That really doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
Because well,
that's her dog, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, technically, it's Michael Bay's dog.
It is?
Yes. That's why.
There you go. So basically, it's just a dog that looks the same, but it's not supposed to be
so
the same
dog. He still can't get over Michaela, so he had to get a matching dog as hers.
Sure.
Wow, he is hung up.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the first of many, like, Spock, Star Trek, Leonard Nimoy references we just saw, which is they're sitting there watching. Was it Amok Time? Is that what they're watching?
I believe so, yeah.
So,
because he doesn't go smashing the consoles that often.
Right, yeah. So, sitting there watching, they're watching Amok Time, Star Trek reference. There's plenty more and more painful ones to come.
Oh, yeah.
I really didn't see the necessity for that, but, I mean, we get it.
That's because Spock. You're not Michael Bay.
This is true. Like, maybe Michael Bay is thinking, hey, he played Spock. because
you don't have this like deep artistic vision for like the foreshadowing and the whole setup later,
right? Yeah, that's got
references. There's Sam's parents again.
Yeah,
matching
you know, honestly,
outfits.
They weren't. You know, I liked them a whole lot in the first movie. Not as much in the second movie, and even less in this one.
Well, now
the guy who plays his dad is really starting to show his age.
He was old before, but yeah, they really kind of aged him.
And in Revenge of the Fallen, their involvement was okay up to the point where they dropped off at college. Yeah,
yeah.
If they would have been out of the movie after that point, it would have been fine.
I actually like Kevin Dunn's character. I don't care for Julie White's though.
What? She's hilarious. She's really.
They take her way overboard, is the thing.
But that's what makes it funny.
Yeah, they figured out that's what works about her character.
Right. She's kind of out there.
I didn't notice it. I didn't notice this before. His piece of shit car still has the biatch air freshener thing.
he's got a lot.
He puts the Bumblebee racing stripes on it, too.
Yeah, he's got
some. Look how pretty those cars are.
Apparently, they can build energon detectors now.
You know, somehow I didn't figure that out, but the lead car is supposed to be Wheeljack, so I didn't figure that out until later.
Oh, yeah, and Sideswipe's a convertible. Just go with it.
Right. But it's not Sideswipe. It's, What did they name him eventually?
Oh, you mean the Ferrari?
The Ferrari, yeah. Sideswipe is the great, yeah, and the Ferrari, what was
it's Dino. Dino.
And Dino. He's dead now, so who cares?
Yeah.
He didn't die, did he?
His actor did.
Oh, well, I don't think that character was going to come back in the next movie anyway. So. not a big loss. So here's yet another thing that doesn't make sense at all.
We have a lot of those.
This is probably the one that was the most like, let me get this straight. A thing that orbited the planet went to the moon. Is that what you're telling me? Because that's the basic setup here. What ends up coming out of this is that the Russians sent Sputnik to the moon and brought back this energy assembly, and then like 25 years later used it at Chernobyl.
Now, do they say Sputnik or is it just implied?
I think they say it and show it. So we'll see when it comes up. But I think the bits around the thing say Sputnik on it.
Maybe Sputnik was just a diversion. So everybody's paying attention to that and not the thing going to the moon.
But Sputnik was in the 50s and Chernobyl was in the 80s.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know.
No, 50 plus 80 totally equals 25. Shut up.
Well, you know, I was... Assuming 5 years for R&D.
It's Hollywood. It doesn't have to make sense.
Right. Or I have to make sense.
They don't even try to explain how much time goes on in between movies, because Sam's already graduated from college in this one.
Or in between scenes.
Yeah, this is also true. So here's the
best character of the movie.
So how is this, too? These guys wander around. They don't go anywhere without the radiation detectors. And they didn't pick up that laser beak was... there.
Still does he omit radiation though?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that how they found him in the first movie?
Yeah. They have those particular radiation signatures.
Well, maybe Laserbeak thought of a way to cloak himself. Who knows?
Yeah. That's a lot more. Let me put it this way, that's a lot more thought than Michael Bay ever put into it. See,
it's just bad writing.
Yeah. See,
right there, yeah. Sputnik.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like they're... Yeah. So the thing that orbited the planet in the 50s picked this thing up, and then they turned it on in the 80s.
Well, JD, you know what else is in orbit of the planet? The moon.
Yeah.
Your mom?
Sputnik orbited really close. The moon orbits...
Your mom is what the planet orbits around.
Oh! Sick burn.
And speaking of your mom, here come the tentacles.
Yay. You thought you'd avoid the tentacles, but no.
You know what? That, this little do right here, this reminded me of Tremors.
It was it's a little Tremors-like. I've also seen other films that it reminded me of that I won't mention here. So apparently Prime now has a trailer with cool guns.
Which also becomes a Stargate.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a Fargate in this one.
Yeah. Why did Shockwave have the big tentacle monster thing?
So he'd have something to do.
Because so he's cool like that?
It's cool. That's what that's
because well, that's, you know, Shockwave is already a one-eyed monster, so he needs to hang around with other large one-eyed monsters.
He knows how to impress the ladies.
Right. Look at my enormous tentacles.
No thanks.
And he's also the only Decepticon that has some color to him.
So wait a minute. Shockwave comes in here, busts in, takes the thing, and the only person that's there to defend it at the moment is Prime. And as soon as Prime cuts off one tentacle, he bitches out. Even though he's got an enormous tentacle monster, he bitches out.
Well, hello, he knows that this is Killamus Prime. You don't want to mess with him.
This is true. He does shoot defenseless Decepticons in the head.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the advantage of having the tentacle digger thing. It doesn't technically have a head or a face, so it should be invulnerable to Optimus Prime.
You would think so.
Well, he'll prove that wrong.
So
as it turns out, Optimus Prime can kill anything that's alive.
Remember when Laserbeak looked cool in the 80s cartoon?
I think he looks kind of cool here. He actually is pretty scary in this movie.
He's gone from being like cool, like Falcon sort of Laserbeak, though, to being cool, like Buzzard Laserbeak.
He's the giant claw, that's all.
Yeah. So
he's like the true Transformer in this movie. I mean, like how many times does he change into something different?
He plays the theme, Frenzy, too.
Didn't Frenzy do that in the first movie?
Yeah, he had a couple of different... He had two alt modes in the first movie.
So the best Transformers are the cassettes.
Yes. although I did like this montage of like job hunting interviews because
this is pretty funny.
If you've been job hunting, especially recently, it felt a lot like this. I was employed about 3 years ago, and now I felt like that every time, like I was saying the most incompetent things, and yeah.
But it comes off incredibly incompetent here because LaBeouf.
Yeah.
The thing is, I actually picture him like this in an actual interview.
Yeah.
On the casting couch.
You think this is how he got the job for Transformers?
Yeah.
Wow, he looks really uncomfortable. He'll be great in this movie.
And you know what sucks is they're playing Aerosmith right now. It's not on the soundtrack. What's up with that?
They knew better than to be associated with the movie.
I love that. We're kind of Republicans around here, so yeah.
Failed. The bottle of Pepto-Bismol right next to him.
Right.
Advertising.
And now we get to see one of the funniest characters here. I don't know. I love this character. It's one of Bay's caricature off, not really a person, but a character. And
how the hell did they get him in this movie?
Oh, man. They had Oscar award winning people in this film. What was it?
Did you just have a speeding ticket or something to work off?
In the background. Hey, there's a thing. The guy in the background is the guy that's the extra in like every movie.
Stan Lee.
I don't know. No, not Stan Lee.
Well, I can't remember. Sorry.
I can't remember his name, but he's like an extra in like 600 different movies. Or
yeah,
like
I know. It's, yeah, and of course,
when I say 600, I really mean something like that. Some extreme number.
It is really insane how he has been an extra in. And we can't remember his name, so there you go.
That's because he's an extra and he's not in the credits.
But I think it was Gail Simone that said something about Frances McDormand selling her soul when she signed up to be in this movie. Like, and I'm selling out now. So, yes. Remember her? She won an Oscar for Fargo. Yeah. And then she did this.
Fargo, eh?
Oh, yeah. If you've not seen Fargo, it's an excellent movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to barf.
Then we have this stupid interlude with the coffee cup.
I love it. I mean, but this...
Well, that's another thing of how exaggerated the character type is.
Exactly. I mean, and again, it's not like he's a person. It's a character thing, and it's... I don't know. I find it funny. If nothing else, it's funny. Even if it doesn't make sense in the larger film. That character is just... I mean, you see the woman...
It's one
just
of those
like,
things you only get if you've had a crazy boss.
Yes.
No, the thing is, I would prefer to work at this place in my current job.
You work at the post office. Right, there's a reason that there's a term called going postal. Okay?
The thing is, I can't even talk at my job.
Right,
so yeah, this place is lenient compared to mine.
There's a reason that your place of employment has created psychopathic killers.
See, that's why people should hire me because I'm patient. I haven't gone postal yet.
yet being the operative word.
Yeah,
it's getting close though. It's getting close.
That tipping point where it's like. When you start telling people, you know, it's Operation Kevlar is on, you know, not to show up to work that day, that's when it's scary. I love that they hide them out in the Department of Human Services because, you know, they don't have anything to do.
That's
not suspicious at all.
No. It's almost as good as it being
luxury cars driving in and out of the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
It would have been a lot funnier if it was the Department of Fish and Wildlife. thank you. That's an Invisible Man reference. Two people got that. Okay.
None of them are here.
None of them are here.
Oh, look at our new special friend.
Yay. So, yeah, because everybody needs like a... I mean, again, there's a lot of eccentric, crazy characters that happen to be the high-paid actors in this film.
Did you notice that she has the Prime Nikes? She put on the Prime Nikes.
Is that what it was? The Prime Nikes? I didn't notice that that's what it was, just that it was Nikes.
I know that because I actually have the Starscream ones.
Oh. Not a big enough fan.
And hey, it's Lennox again.
Yeah. At least he has these movies. He's probably another one of those that's like really banking for another one. He's like, could we please do Transformers 4?
Josh Duhamel would have no problem. He could just do his little chick flicks and he'll make money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of those people that will go see him.
You know, him and Mark Ruffalo probably like hang out and go like, man, we're making so much bank on these chick flicks. It's great.
So Ironhide is talking to Ludwig von Drakebot.
Right. Oh, man. So when Prime gets grouchy, he just stays in truck mode. That's
yeah.
He's just pouting.
Right.
I love that little ding.
Yeah.
That's the best sound effect in that moment.
Ding.
I'm sure only Ironhide could get away with that.
Oh, probably. And even he knows when not to do that.
Anyone else would lose the face.
But you know, she's bitching, man, because she just got... like, griped out by an enormous robot, and she didn't even flinch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is, you know, that's resolve. And she doesn't have enough bags, that's for sure.
A bag for every occasion.
She needs an assistant. Now, how the hell did this happen? That's what I want to know. Because I'm sitting in the theater, and I'm like, that's motherfucking Buzz Aldrin. Why is he in my Transformers movie?
I was sitting in the theater going like, oh, Buzz, no.
I know, but that's kind of what I'm like. I'm like, really? You've got nothing better to do but be in Transformers 3?
He's in his 80s. Dude. He probably did this one day.
To be fair, he and Optimus have the same penchant for hitting people in the face.
Oh, I love that video. Smack that freaking conspiracy theorist bastard. That's awesome. Anyway, so, again, here's a point that doesn't make any sense.
Do you think he actually has any idea what he's doing in this movie? Because it sure as hell doesn't look like it.
Yeah, maybe it's something his publicist set up, and he's just like...
Do we know if he has Alzheimer's or something?
Oh!
He's been in a couple of movies, though. Is he... Oh, I hope he could go the Stan Lee route. It's worked really well for Stan Lee. He just shows up, and he's like, oh, there's another Marvel movie? I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a uniform. I'm a janitor. Who knows?
I'm a hot dog salesman.
I'm a guy that grabs a girl out of the way.
I'm watering the lawn.
Stan Lee can do it all. The best was when they had him be Hef, though. That was... That was awesome.
Yeah.
Prime would totally be bending that rail right now, but whatever.
That's what she said?
Yeah.
Ooh.
He would be bending that rail. Oh, yeah.
Repeatedly for a nickel.
Your mom is the
I
old
I still don't understand why the thing on the side of his head turns all the time. I'm not really sure what.
Because he's alive.
I guess.
It's like his gills.
Is that an equilibrium? Gills. Okay. We'll go with gills.
Metal gills.
Metal gill solid?
God, how much money did Lenovo put into this movie? It's like every computer is
$1 million.
Jesus.
I want some of these cars.
Why are there dogs?
Well, there's a lot of dogs, too.
Because you have to have...
Not just Rosie.
Cool! Dogs give more of the awe factor. Aw.
Yeah.
Rosie's not a dog. She's a puppet.
God.
Well, I'm sure she's had someone's hand.
All I know is that the only thing of value he's done was Grey's Anatomy. Is it?
Which now he Patrick wants to play Stewart? Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Patrick Stewart was awesome in the 80s.
What?
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart's always awesome. I'm talking about this douchebag.
Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick Stewart was awesome in the 80s, though. I mean,
he was awesome in the 80s and 90s.
No, he's still Patrick mostly Dempsey, awesome.
He was like the it guy in the 80s.
Yeah, what did he do in the 80s?
Yeah, well, he did...
Probably Love a lot of mothers.
He did Can't Buy Me Love. He did all the nerd films.
Oh, Paladin. No, what did he do in the 80s? I'm sorry.
He did Can't Buy Me Love. He did Loverboy. He did... he was always the nerd that won the
Can't
over.
Can't Buy Me Love? Really? I didn't know that.
Not the Beatles did Can't Buy Me Love.
Yes.
No, they did the cool song. He did the less interesting movie. But the only reason I even care about that movie is because someone wore an Eskimo Joe's shirt in it. So, anyway. Only people in Oklahoma know what that is. Anyway.
And there's a car collection. Did they just rent out Jay Leno's garage for a day or something to shoot this?
This is probably Michael Bay's collection. This is probably his collection.
I want a collection like that.
Or if not, he pulled in a favor to get it all. I don't know. I'm with Sam, though. I'm thinking exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah.
I've got a really hot girlfriend. I have a shitty car. I have no life. This dude is taking my hot babe.
And my new boss is insane.
It's the only thing. It is literally the only thing I have going for me right now.
It's just not turning out to be Sam's day.
No.
He just pointed to his crotch. I just noticed that.
I really didn't want to know about Shia LaBeouf's big boy pants.
I know. I want to know what Carly's getting out of this relationship.
He must be. He either has to have like the biggest schlong, or he's just got a. I don't know. Maybe he's really affectionate or something. I don't know.
Well, he's sure giving it to that car.
God. I mean, it's stamina, I guess.
I'm sure that's his usual attitude, hammer away at it for 12 seconds.
Bang, bang, bang. God.
This commentary not meant for children.
No, not at all. I have to say, though, for most of the roles I've seen Patrick Dempsey in, he has been sort of like a decently likable guy, and he's a total douchebag, like a complete bastard in this film. And I have to like appreciate that on some level.
And now the Autobots are on the moon, and the lunar lander has been returned by the Historical Society.
For some reason, Tarantulas supplied all the robots. Not sure why.
Well, they have to wait a few thousand years before pulling Waspinator together again.
I want. It'd be awesome if they like mix match, you know, Apollo 18 in here.
Why are there guns inside the ship? I mean,
well,
I guess they fell
the gun
in
deck, so technically those could slide up to like a window or something. I would imagine.
Yeah, like cannons.
I guess so.
It's the same reason there was that turret on the ship to start with that slid all the way around the surface of the ship.
Right, because that's necessary.
They're at war. You always need a gun.
So, okay, and this is, we'll get to things later in the film. Was it just that the Decepticons couldn't get to that part of the ship, or was it they just left it because they wanted to leave something?
They probably didn't know what button to push.
That had to be.
I think they explained why they left all that stuff up there later on in the movie.
I guess is, yeah.
And this is the most disappointing part, because in the comics, Megatron totally punched out an elephant and they didn't do it in the movie.
Well, I wonder why.
PETA would blame their ass.
Yeah. Megatron is kind of cool. I like this Megatron.
Yeah.
The toy is actually
cool until those idiots started calling him racist.
What?
Huh? I didn't hear that either. He looks like Mumra right there.
A bag on his head.
Well, look, he looks like Mumra.
It's a cloak. It's a cloak.
I know.
It's a hood.
Only idiots would call him racist. That's just dumb. I love that he has a shotgun for no reason. Never uses it. Just has
unfortunately,
it.
The toy doesn't.
I know. That's a ripoff.
And then I found out this part was...
There's all this third-party stuff. Where's my Megatron shotgun? Okay.
Yeah, put it in a two-pack with Igor.
There we go.
Now, who was it that was telling me Igor is actually part of Longhaul's head from the previous movie?
Just with little tiny legs.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
And for the first time, we actually get to see Starscream act like Starscream.
Yeah.
Hey.
And it looks like Megatron's infested with little robot parasites.
I love
it. Scalpels.
Yeah. Now, I'm surprised PETA didn't get after him from that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, why can't Megatron punch an elephant, but he can shoot up a bunch of birds? I guess because they're birds. Hmm.
Well, the birds eat dead things anyway. So
just imagine the fallout if Megatron put on a Tanuki suit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Dear God. And you just dated the commentary. Okay.
Gotta work with the material while you have it.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
We'll be listening to this in 3 years going, Tanuki suit? What the hell is that? Anyway. I don't really understand the point of the mini Bumblebee, but I think it's hilarious.
I think it's cute.
I'm surprised we never got that repaint.
Yeah, where's that? Really? Of all the useful repaint, of all the completely useless repaints of Bumblebee, we didn't get a pink, like, Tea Party Bumblebee.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been perfect awesome. For a little Legends recolor.
Yeah. Where is that? Hasbro, we're looking at you. Remember, you make toys.
Yeah, well, they didn't give us Dino either, so yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I'm pretty sure Ferrari had something to do with that.
Probably.
It's because Mattel owns the license to Ferrari. And Mattel are evil incarnate.
So, why would they put that in the movie then?
Well, they probably had that part worked out before they figured out they couldn't make a toy of it.
Here you go, Michael Bay. Anyway.
Well, there's another one of the extreme caricature characters.
Yeah, and he's only around for a few seconds. So.
Yeah.
Yay. Handing out things.
Yay, montage.
We're going to need a montage.
That car right there is so sweet.
It's got the good doors, too.
Yeah, you got the gullwing doors. That's what you want.
No, that sucks, because my cousin had a DeLorean back in the day, and you have to be careful where you park those things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Easy to ding the doors up. Apparently, they're worthless, though.
What, DeLoreans?
Yeah. Apparently, if you can find one, you can buy them for, like...
Yeah,
There's a factory somewhere that's got, like, loads and loads of unused DeLorean parts. They can build you a new DeLorean out of them.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Because they're built out of crap.
That's right. Yeah, that's the thing that sort of gets lost in the whole thing. It's like, DeLoreans look really cool. They're in Back to the Future. Yeah, that company went bankrupt because those cars were shit.
That's actually the car I learned to drive on.
A DeLorean?
Uh-huh, my cousin's DeLorean.
God, tell that story. That is
yeah, awesome. Really. I mean, that's
should be on a resume.
That's a fairly unique DeLorean. Thing, I would think.
Yeah.
Learn to drive in a DeLorean.
That's
definitely more unique than Deep Wang here.
Actually, if you ever play, like, a truth or fiction game where it's like you have to give two things are true and one that's false, like, that's, like, got to be on the list. Because, Yeah, because people would totally go, oh, that's not true. There's no way.
And here we get to throw in more product placement for Mercedes.
Yeah. And Lenovo.
Again.
Well, that just never stops.
Right.
No.
But look how big and prominent that logo is.
That's right.
Just like Carly.
No, just like her lips. Dear God. Is it just me or is her face disproportionate? I don't know.
The thing is, whenever I look at her, I just look at her lips. I feel like she's just going to go float away because they're so puffed up, you know?
Like, if I was doing a cartoon version of this, she would just be constantly, like, sucking on Sam's head. Like,
lips. Thank you for saying like, head.
What kind of cartoon are you thinking here, JD?
No, I'm just like, she'd be standing next to him and just, like, her lips
like,
would be
like
all
like lamprey. Just
like, yeah, just, like, massaging his hair, you know?
I don't really think that narrows it down much, JD.
I don't think it matters.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. I know what I'm talking about, but I don't know what y'all are talking about.
And there's licorice.
Yay.
For some reason.
Twizzlers.
Surely Twizzlers gave some money to this movie.
Now
and they're all thinking the same thing. How did this schmuck get that girl?
Everyone's thinking that.
Twice. I mean, he got a decently hot girl twice.
Well, to be fair, the first time was just because they almost got killed by giant robots together.
True. It was the whole, like, speed effect, you know. This character is almost uncomfortably awkward.
But just almost.
Almost. Not quite. But almost.
Okay, was anyone else waiting for him to become, like, the naked Asian guy from Hangover in this movie?
Oh, boy.
Yes. And this is still less offensive than his appearance in Hangover 2.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm missing out, I guess. I haven't seen either of those. So.
The first one's okay.
That's what made his career.
Yeah, what does that say about him or the movie?
Come on, Hangover was awesome.
And then the second one ran it into the ground.
The second one was just the first one, just in a different location.
Now, this is a seriously paranoid dude. In case you didn't notice.
Oh, gee, I hadn't picked up on that. Thank you.
I just love that he has, like, his dossier, like, strapped.
Yeah, code like, pink as in Floyd. What the fuck did he say that?
Dark Side of the Moon.
I know that, but where the hell did he get that? Why the hell did we need to hear that, and why the hell do we need to see him taking his pants off?
Well.
Because someone has to
Because if he takes his pants off, then he gets to wag the, like, crotch-smelling paper.
And, yeah, if he doesn't take his pants off, you can't be exactly sure where he just pulled that wad of paper out of.
Right. Or something.
For all you know, he could have just had a pocket inside his pants rather than pulling it out of his crotch.
Oh, well, as long as John Turturro keeps his pants on.
Yeah. I think... Well, I hope.
I think he does manage to do that in this movie. I don't think anybody pees on anybody in this movie, so that's...
Thumbs up.
That's certainly an achievement over the first two films. No mention. I mean, there are some script improvements, at least, in this movie.
Yes.
I mean, even if there's, you know, some logical leaps, which, I mean, to be honest, yeah, there's logical problems with the film, but you really don't even have time to think about them. Like, they go by so fast.
That's why these succeed, so to speak.
Well, now, for the other films, you, like, had more time to ponder it, it seemed like, because there were more, especially with the second film, there were so many protracted battle scenes. While you're, like, ignoring that that's going on, you're thinking, wait a minute, why did he do that? That doesn't make any sense at all. But the pace of this film moves along fast enough that it's, like, you're, like, waking up from the punch before you realize that, you know, it even hit you. So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to say it's a great film, but it at least achieved over the first two where they didn't give you time to realize it doesn't make sense. So that's like two or three alt modes there at least. So,
I think that transformation actually kind of worked pretty well. It's kind of cool with the screen splitting with the image still on it.
Yes. And the way.
And apparently Laserbeak does mass shifting because how did he shrink down to the mouse?
Yeah, well...
Maybe the mouse was just an extension of him.
I think the mouse was just an extension. Yeah.
Where the hell did he get those guns from?
Well, he dropped his pants again.
He had
didn't see any holsters last time.
He had them under the desk.
Well, he used
nobody
his,
at the office that found that life. Suspicious at all?
He used the holster he was born with, Paladin.
Nobody searches offices. I mean, I could have crazy stuff in my desk at work and no one would know. Nobody searches your desk. I love
this.
Well,
he's dead now. It doesn't matter. And I love that.
I mean,
the other employee's first instinct is to call the legal department and then take pictures with their cell phones.
You know, but that's so true of like a corporate environment. It's like, it's like, yeah, he died. Somebody call legal and probably an ambulance and or the coroner at least. And
y'all
go
read
back.
Humpty Dumpty.
I mean, seriously, we had massive tornadoes like moving through parts of Oklahoma City, and our managers are wandering around going, "It's not really close to us. You just go back to work. It's okay." Like,
corporate.
We'll let you know if it's dangerous. Like, yeah, we trust you.
I believe we also skipped over one of the best parts of that scene too. Isn't that where Laserbeak says, "I'm going to have to suicide you"?
Yes, that is kind of a great line.
Yeah,
he does have a good voice too.
Oh yeah, he's a good character. I mean,
isn't that Larry Kenny? Not Larry Kenny. Who is it that does it?
Tom Kenny,
yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And then there's a copy machine that plays the Transformers theme and shit blows up.
You know, it's so funny. I didn't catch that in the theater, but Amanda, my wife, did. And she had to tell me. I was like, really? That's cool.
The captions are telling me to it that it's the Transformers theme.
Well, that's cheating.
Well, you just don't know Paladin that well, JD.
Oh, well. No, I don't. And why Laserbeak just gives up? He was like, oh, he turned one too many corners. I couldn't catch him. I don't know.
Well, he's like, oh, I did my job. I've got other stuff to do.
Right. Oh, I've got coffee and coffee break.
I got to see what else office equipment I can transform into.
I want to see somebody, secret or not, roll up on a government office and just try to barge their way in and not get filled with holes.
And you notice where those flashlights were pointing? They were totally checking Carly out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just throwing that one out there.
It's certainly possible.
And then they throw the little guys out there.
Oops. Why they didn't detect that sooner, I don't know.
Apparently they have very, very, very short range on their scanners.
Yeah, because that's helpful. You know?
Yeah. Well, they're small, so they don't have much of an energon signature.
Again,
brain smoking fiber optic hair, too.
You know, though, in that moment, we thought more about it than Michael Bay ever did.
I would imagine so, yes.
Where did Brains get that gun from?
That's how you tell we're fans, right? Because we, like, require explanation. And we will come up with more explanations than any for everything. And any author, writer, director ever like thought of. Just
well,
to explain.
See, that's why I've always heard that it's bad for a fan of a property to become an official writer for it, because everything's going to get so bogged down in technicality, specification, and explanations, you're not ever going to get anywhere with a story that anybody outside the fandom can approach.
We're looking at you, IDW.
See, this is the part that I don't care for Sam here. He acts like a overprotective girlfriend with B. Like, I know you were working in special ops, but damn, you needed to call me.
Why did you call? I thought we were something special.
I think he's more in love with
Bumblebee.
Well,
you know, considering that him and Michaela broke up, Bumblebee is technically Sam's longest running relationship.
This is true. If I was Bumblebee, I'd be pissed, though, because Sam keeps referring to Bumblebee as his first car, and he's like, hello, I'm a person thing, okay? Like, I have an identity. I'm not just a car, all right? God.
Well, it's Bumblebee's fault for not talking so that he's very easily to relate as a dog.
Well, he does try to talk more in this one with the little clip things.
Yeah, but those are annoying. Which they carried over into Transformers Prime and is also annoying.
Except without the clips.
The clips are at least helpful.
Now he just talks in Minicon speak.
That is
why we all probably hate it.
I mean, I love Minicons. I just, you know, without
the fiction. Your first problem.
Well, without the fiction, I guess. I mean, you know, in the show, I don't know. Yeah. The government.
Don't even get me started. I know how retarded they are.
So who's the bigger bitch in this part, Sam or Charlotte?
Nice.
It's a draw?
Yeah.
She's just doing her job. She's doing, you know, what she's been trained to do. He's just being a bitch.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, on some level, I think that, you know, she was brought in because of everything that had happened in the preceding films. You know, and in a way she sees, like, the Autobots being too lax and meddling and, you know, with regular humans and not following protocol is what caused...
They don't have enough regulation.
Exactly.
So, I imagine she's regular.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of fiber.
Plenty of fiber, yes. So it's a darn good thing that we went and got this thing in the last movie.
And yes. Apparently Optimus has force powers because he can just levitate the fucking thing.
Yeah, that's a...
He's a wizard!
They should have made it bigger and cooler, but I guess Sam couldn't have...
And that's how this works. A wizard did it.
That's what she said. God.
The first thing Sentinel does is whip
does
time
this pass. He puts the Matrix in and he just spits it back out again because it's on the floor later.
Yeah, it fell out. You just have to stab it into him and then they fall out. You know, it falls out.
Well, I've tried it with the toys. It just doesn't fit Sentinel as well as Prime.
You're not stabbing it hard enough.
That's what she said.
I love it. Comes back to life. First thing he does, whip Optimus's ass.
Yeah.
See, I wonder if he did that a lot in the old days.
Probably. I'm sure he deserved it. But this makes me wonder, if they just, like, take the Matrix and stab it into, like, Sam's crummy little car, will that turn into a robot, too? Will that come to life?
Well, it's not a creation Matrix. It's the Matrix of leadership. It can reanimate, but it can't animate. And again, I just thought about it way more than Michael Bay ever did.
And maybe it only works on Primes.
Whereas if you take an AllSpark shard and shove it in something, then it comes to life.
Right, anything will come
back to life.
Yeah, or back to life. Yes. They're very similar. But we needed a different MacGuffin for this movie.
Speaking of which, now Sentinel
both ways in this one.
And now Sentinel's explaining the plot device of this movie.
Right. And yet another MacGuffin. Ladies and gentlemen, we now have for you the next MacGuffin. In our never-ending string of making things named after stuff from the original series that have nothing to do with things from the original series.
Now to this woman's credit, she is rightfully apprehensive about bringing boatloads of unknown refugee Cybertronians to Earth over this mysterious space bridge thingamajig.
Maybe it is a good idea to have a government official around.
Sentinel's attitude is just, pay attention to me, I have facial hair.
Nice. Look at me, I look like my voice actor.
Has Leonard Nimoy ever had a hippie beard like that?
I don't think Nimoy could grow a beard like that if he tried.
Yeah, he did. He's had one. Didn't he, when he was doing, what was the Journey, the Mysterious World, or whatever show that he used?
Didn't he have one when he was Evil Spock?
Yeah, he had one when he was Evil Spock. There you go, Evil Spock.
Well, was that really his, or did they just...
When he was Shattered Glass Spock. Transformers, we love ripping off Star Trek, apparently.
And back in Charlotte's office, it's bitch off round two.
Fight.
Except this time it split three ways.
I love how Sam tries to, like, compare his, like, Presidential Medal of Honor to, like, her CIA, like, commendations. Because one, like, anybody can get. And the other, like, nobody can get.
Charlotte. I'm sorry, I like her.
No, she's good. I like Frances McDormand. She's pretty funny. Loved her in Fargo. She was in other stuff, too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. No? Okay.
Are you looking for what else she's been in?
Right. I was like, she's been in other movies, right?
let's see.
I like the little house that Wheelie and Brains have set up outside.
I'm telling you, they're awesome.
Burn After Reading. Did you ever see that?
Yes, she did do that movie.
And Bumblebee working on his cannon indoors again. That cannot end well.
I want the floors in that apartment building. Those are amazing.
Yeah.
I want that apartment building. I wonder how much rent she pays.
Well, with considering that they're reinforced floors that can hold, like, tons of weight.
Yeah.
Dear God.
She could clean the windows, though. Look how dirty those are. My goodness.
But then people would see Bumblebee.
Probably Sam's job.
Yeah, his job is to clean the windows. But he has to do it in a gimp suit. Here's your ball gag.
And now we have the least insane television appearance by Bill O'Reilly ever.
How many cameos are in this movie?
I still can't believe they got Bill O'Reilly.
Well, and the funny thing is I sided with Bill O'Reilly. I was like, what kind of world am I in? Bill O'Reilly seems like the reasonable person. Anyway.
Well, at least Simmons has his pants on.
Yeah.
And thankfully he cut Simmons off before he started bragging about once being directly below an enemy scrotum.
Oh, yes.
I love the old
we all want to be in that position at one point, don't we?
Who the fuck is the old guy in this?
I have no idea what the point of that is.
What purpose does he serve?
Apparently he's moving into this place. I mean, he still has moving boxes. I think this guy's just...
Is this guy the contractor or the painter? Probably. I don't know. He's got painting supplies. Or
is he somebody's great-grandfather who just wandered onto set one day?
Probably the butler to show that Simmons has moved up thanks to his experiences that he's selling books about.
Right. Which apparently people are buying. I still don't understand why he's rich. That was the thing that I couldn't understand. I'm like, wait a minute, why is he rich?
He's probably blackmailing someone in the Secret Service or who knows.
Yeah, or they bought it. Maybe they did they buy his secrecy? I don't know.
Who knows?
But then he's talking. It doesn't make sense. Again, we have thought about
here's Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk. Now
I love that jacket.
Now this is one of those characters where it's like, yes.
Yeah,
awesome. I wish there was more of him in it.
Yeah, and he's in a decent amount of it, but yeah, there could always be more.
Mm-hmm. I like Simmons' self portraits too from the incidents in the last movie.
it's like Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, it really is. And really, if they could have afforded it, they could have had Colbert play that part, and it'd be exactly the same.
Oh, that would have been awesome!
Oh my god. That jacket really is bitching, isn't it?
Yeah. Which one are you talking about?
Alan Tudyk's. I love it. And that character's just great. It's a great moment later.
Dutch. Yeah. Gotta love Dutch.
Dutch, yes. Oh, this suit-up scene.
I need take a whatever montage. Gear you need.
You know what? They'd be smart if they brought him back as the main character in the fourth movie.
I would not completely object to that.
No. I would love to see all Dutch.
All of a sudden, we're back in Africa again?
Yeah, because that... And just for this scene, too. Like, like this is the only thing that happens here. Am I right? I don't think
they just learn how to fire up the ground bridge for this movie?
I don't think they do anything else but have this whole sequence, which doesn't make sense to me why Sentinel doesn't take the Matrix.
It doesn't make sense, but it does look nice, which is basically the motto for the entire movie.
I mean, other than being
probably the entire movie series.
Mm. But
the Matrix knows that he's a bad guy now. Oh, wait, spoiler alert.
But Sentinel gives it back, and I'm just like that. But if he's planning on taking... Why wouldn't he... Scriptwriter?
There's a lot of this that only makes sense if you look at exactly in the order it appears on screen.
Right.
Because he feels guilt. He feels guilty.
I guess that's right. It does make sense if, you know, in the process of watching it, because it's like, oh, well, he doesn't want to be Prime now. Then you figure out later he's a bad guy. But by that point, you've forgotten about this scene, again, because of the pace of the film. See?
Right.
If more movies move faster, you wouldn't be able to pay attention to the fact that they don't make sense. And you would think they are great.
Until you stop and think about it for even a second.
I really like this sequence. I don't know how well it was received, but I think it's hilarious.
Well, I think it's funny that he has an obsession with yellow, and the first Transformer he meets is Bumblebee.
Yeah, that is.
I think Bumblebee's right. He ate a lot of paint chips as a kid.
But I love that, especially like the part, and just from an acting standpoint, like my favorite part is coming up here where he gets him on the floor and he just starts like laughing hysterically as he's got a gun in his face.
Like, I think this is cute.
Yeah, it is. But it's so, and from an acting standpoint, like that is just so hard to do well, and he does it perfectly, you know.
I don't think he was acting. I think he really is that crazy in real life.
Oh, probably.
He's one of the guys who plays the same character in every movie, basically.
Yeah,
he has kind of become the crazy guy.
Oh, and surprise, Brains is a laptop.
That's awesome.
And he prints out information by humping the printer.
He stuck his finger in it. That's so like a RoboCop thing.
Well, it can be both.
Well, Laserbeak kind of did the same. Not Laserbeak. Frenzy did the same thing in the first movie.
Yeah. Telling you, that is a sturdy building right there.
Yes. It can survive a clumsy Autobot.
Aw, poor. You're making fun of B.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got a question. Why is Carly always wearing white? Is there a reason why she needs to wear white every part of this movie?
Because her workplace is white. It's probably, you know, dress code.
Okay. Thank you. That's awesome. I know the answer to that.
It's just like the yellow thing in Sam's place. You know, before Laserbeak destroyed it.
Do you think it's possible for her to have a shorter skirt?
Well, yes, but then she'd need, like, double-sided tape or something.
Right.
Okay, anyone else think that she's overreacting here?
Overreacting, well, or overacting?
Yeah, and what's funny is, you know, they had to add in this whole thing where, like, her brother was killed. Now, here's a question. Are they trying to say that her brother was the British Forces guy from the second movie?
It was a British Forces guy from the second movie?
Yeah.
There were people in the second movie?
Yeah.
There was a second movie?
Names?
Anyway. Yeah, there was a British Special Forces with them in the second movie. So, I don't know.
Beats me.
I don't know. Okay, well, I guess not, maybe. If it is, I'm brilliant.
If it didn't happen at the same time as Give Me Your Face, I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was before Give Me Your Face.
I don't remember it.
See, that's why we had to have the bunny, so that she could give him the ripped-off rabbit foot that totally isn't creepy.
No, that's for good luck.
And totally serves a point.
Right. She's driving Soundwave, by the way. I don't know if anybody knew that.
Spoilers.
Spoiler? Jeez.
Yeah. I know. Rude. Just ruin it.
You think if you're watching this commentary or something,
if you're listening to this commentary while watching this film for the first time, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, that comes when they're listening to this in the first place.
I think only Ender would do that, you know, because he hasn't even seen the movie.
Ender would even watch it; he'd just be screaming through the whole thing.
At our commentary.
Ender provides his own commentary live.
This is.
The whole commentary is like, what the hell? What the hell?
Yeah. This is hilarious. This has got to be one of the best, like, two-line exchanges. That means goodbye.
And he just sells it so well, too.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, Transformers 4 could totally be Simmons and Dutch as the main characters.
You don't even need Transformers. You just...
Yeah, they need their own spin-off movie.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, buddy cop movie. Simmons and Dutch.
I'd watch that. I'd pay for that.
Yeah.
And it even sounds cool, too. Simmons and Dutch.
Simmons and Dutch, yes.
It's the perfect sound.
Paramount, are you listening?
Apparently he's Sector 8 now. What the hell?
I love Alan Tudyk. I'll watch anything that he's in.
Yeah.
Even that horrible TV series that he's in right now.
It doesn't narrow it down very much.
Suburgatory.
I didn't even know that existed. I've never heard of it.
I've heard of it, haven't watched it.
It's a bit bad, yeah.
I love that he's still trying to come up with. Don't know.
Can my child smoke in here? Never noticed that before.
Apparently that's a common question in Russia.
You know, Peter should be after her for her fur coat.
And this is where Dutch got really cool.
Yeah, this is...
Just when that switch...
It came right the fuck out of nowhere, and I do not fucking care.
I'm going postal.
Yeah. Just like all of a sudden...
Somehow he gets a second gun from somewhere.
All of a sudden shit got real, and he's just like...
This is what happens when people from the post office get fired.
God, that's not me anymore. I love that. That's the old me.
See, with that line, didn't you want a whole backstory of his life? A prequel on his previous life.
You know what? I don't. That's the whole thing. It's like, that is all I want to know, really. Like,
they can take it because the reality will never be as good as what you ever you'd imagine.
That's true.
Exactly. It's just like Jaws, right? You don't really want to see the shark because the things that you imagine the shark doing are so much better than the mechanical one.
Alien, where you only see the alien in shadows for the moment.
Yes.
Why do Russians like everything cold and dark? I mean, look at that place.
Have you seen Russia? Have you met Russians?
they need to, you know, lighten up a bit.
Have you met Russians?
I actually met a couple, yeah.
Oh my God, they're the most dark, depressing people. They're people that have been oppressed for hundreds of years, okay? You would prefer it dark and depressing as well. If you had a history as depressing as theirs.
If they just put some drapes in there, you know, whitewash the walls, it would be so pretty.
Just put a flower pot in.
Yeah, the little zombie Lenin would just tear it down again.
Just a big truck moving around.
Apparently they have Sentinel on speed dial for some reason.
A big airport fire truck out in the middle of nowhere. That's not suspicious.
Yeah.
No more suspicious than the trio of luxury cars.
Yeah.
Let's go to the same place together.
Right.
Well, that's just a drug deal going down.
Probably, and you want to avoid those.
So. But they're not in Detroit.
Well, not right now.
Although they might have been. They did film some here.
I want an SS Camaro.
Yes.
I love the new bodywork that they have.
I miss my 99 Z28 for sure.
Oh, you had one?
Yep. Aww. I had a 99 T-top Z28 Camaro.
Nice.
Black T-tops.
Why did you get rid of it?
I was moving. I thought I was moving to New York and I wouldn't need a car.
Here's the part we were talking about before, or at least close to
it. Some of this sequence, not all of it, but some of it is stolen from
the island.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, nobody cares. Nobody actually went to see the island.
Exactly. No one saw the island. I don't know why people would complain.
I saw it. Really good.
That's why it got reused in this, because Michael Bay knew, okay, nobody saw this movie, but this sequence was so awesome, it's got to get put somewhere.
Well, look at that transformation sequence. That's cool. And I want a Transformer dog. Not the toy. I want the real thing.
Oh, wow.
I like the music in the highway part, too.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a vehicle turning into an animal, and that's really what I'm wanting. Like, can I have that toy?
Yeah. Go buy Hatchet.
Not good.
Is it out? I never saw it, though. Where is it? I can't find it.
Hatchet's the Cyberverse Commander class.
Oh, okay. But I wanted, like, a Deluxe or a Void.
Yeah, you're not getting that.
That's what I want.
Hell, I wanted Mirage, so I'm not getting him.
You know, if Hasbro would figure out they're a toy company, they could give me cool stuff. There it is. Yep, that's from the island. There's like a spot in there somewhere.
Dino knows how to surf the pavement.
I think this is awesome. Too, isn't it? This sequence?
Right here. That's part of the island right there.
Yeah, all this sequence is part of the island. Transformed cars going through the air.
But yeah, there's cool elements to how they work the transformations throughout the sequence.
Oh yeah, I mean this is honestly a really great, you know, chase highway fight scene.
This part right here.
I remember the 3D for this was really good too.
Yeah,
this was one of the best 3D elements of the movie.
They
actually showed this to us at BotCon. This part right here in 3D, and everyone was getting so excited for the movie because of this part right here.
You know, honestly, like when...
And Shia LaBeouf almost ruins it all by screaming like a bitch yet again.
No, no, the screaming like a bitch is the perfect cap.
It's perfect, yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes it. You know, it's funny, years ago, way before, you know, Transformers live action movie, I had thought about what would be cool in it. And like that was the first thing I thought of. Yeah. Like, you know, a Transformer flying through the air, transforming, you know, maybe a person or something. It's like that. That is it. Now that I've seen that, I'm like, we don't need a fourth movie. I got it.
Well, I think we need a fourth movie for entirely different reasons, but I'm right there with you anyway.
Yeah.
I love how Sideswipe moves, too. They did a really good job with his movements on the screen.
It doesn't translate well to toy form, though. Half of his figures can't stand.
Right.
No.
Well, that's a problem with the...
Okay, now is that transmission fluid coming out? That red stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably. Okay.
It makes sense for it to be.
Yeah.
By the way, the same guy who called Megatron racist also called these guys racist.
Why?
I believe he called the Dreads a bunch of homicidal Bob Marley knockoffs.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, some people need to get a life. I mean, don't get me wrong.
If anything, they're racist against predators.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, really. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all for, you know, and I talk about it a lot on Fanboy Versus, so... But seriously, there's a time and a place, and this is not where right. That's an issue.
I remember a lot of people complain because somehow Transformers know what a Mexican standoff is.
Well, they study Earth culture.
Yeah.
Like, Transformers wouldn't watch TV.
Oh, and I nobody mean, died when he blew up the building. That was just a complete coincidence.
Thankfully, right. No one was there. I mean, it was like a very small...
Well, they're in the abandoned building district.
Right. That's where all
that's
fights.
The rock quarry.
Are we sure this isn't Detroit, then?
No, I was going to say, you're in Detroit because it's full of abandoned buildings.
Right.
Those buildings are way too nice to be in Detroit.
Yeah. But this was filmed in Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Parts were in Detroit, too. Probably the parts that doubled for Chernobyl.
You're probably right. It's a thing. And here we go.
Wait a minute.
I have to say, like, you know, my wife was very, very sad at this point. She is a huge...
This was actually shocking to me, because well, I stayed away from all spoilers.
If you didn't get spoiled on this part of it beforehand, like a lot of people were, mm-hmm. This would be completely out of nowhere.
Yeah, I stayed away from all the forums for, like, 2 months, stayed away from all spoilers, and so when I saw this, I was literally in shock. I was like, no!
Now, in the comics, this is also where the twins died. And I wish they had put that in the film. I think a lot more people would have paid money to see just them die.
Twins die.
If just showed up to die, that would have been great. But yeah. I think Bay, at that point, just like, he didn't even want to bother. He was like, we're just not even going to put him in the movie. Man.
But don't they show up, like, in the background somewhere?
No.
Yeah, I think...
The first Autobot lineup, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the long...
Yeah. And Cosmic Rust gets to Ironhide.
Bay said he would give somebody $25,000 if they saw him.
And we all saw him in the first trailer, and where's our fucking money?
I guess it's one of those first come, first serve kind of things.
You know,
apparently Sentinel just has a vendetta against the military machines.
That's some your issues for sure. That's
he just needs a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you just
they
spent
killed
like,
off the RCs last time.
If you just spent, like, last...
Besides, he can't get a girlfriend. He's in the wrong part of his 7-year mating cycle.
Yeah. It's not during the Ponfar, so... you'll have to wait.
See, Michael Bay's not the only one who can work Spock into this.
Yeah. We can work in plenty of useless Star Trek references as well.
No, they're all useless.
If you give us a chance, we could probably fit some Pokemon in here, too.
Oh, yeah. Just give it time. I'll come up with something.
What's a Olympic fire truck?
Prime's like, man.
Where the hell has Prime been for all this?
Yeah, you know, Prime's just like, damn it, I missed a fight. I wasn't able to kill anyone.
Yeah. I didn't get to take his spaces.
That's my job.
So, Sentinel took the broad things.
Yeah.
Because that's for the space bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's more rod things.
And Sam has to run back to the apartment. He couldn't take Bumblebee or anyone with him. He just had to go by on foot. How the hell did that help?
Yeah. Those are.
Well, you and what the fuck is his dad wearing?
Yeah.
They're matching PJs. Come on. Oop, he wrote the
Light book. Product placement.
This scene does seem a bit forced, though. I mean, I'm all for the parents, but this scene
is just
little...
as much as the brownies last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't go on quite as long, so I don't hate it quite as much.
Exactly. They at least had the decency to end it fairly quickly. I love how the dad is just like, you know, he's just like,
You guys are men. Has your mom ever talked to you like this?
No. If she had, I'm pretty sure I would have curled up into a little ball and caught on fire.
XV's mom does, but I had to pay her a nickel first.
Well, that doesn't count, though, because she's not your mom, you know.
Right.
It's fine if somebody else's mom talks to you about this stuff. There's no problem with that. It's when your own mom is talking to you like this. It's not right in the world.
I don't know. I have to admit that my folks were kind of hippies. So.
And I will follow you to the ends of time. That's not romantic. That's stalking.
Yeah. You know, like, if you think a romantic song is I'll Be Watching You,
that's a song, man.
You know, that's...
Aiken's Invisible. They're both really creepy.
Ooh.
That's kind of creeper. That's a little creeper creepy.
So
there's Igor again.
So we have a race of space robots that in the previous two movies were able to transverse between planets by taking on a satellite rocket form. And in this movie, they can't get from the moon to the Earth without a space bridge.
The technology's outdated. They haven't upgraded.
If they tried to come from the moon directly, people would see them, and they'd probably get shot down.
Okay.
it's
and Igor's in love with Abraham Lincoln.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm not supposed to do that.
You know, it takes a head to love a head.
But... I'm not even going to parse that. Anyway,
that's what she said.
Yeah.
So,
although I do love like the pulling the Lincoln statue off and Megatron sitting on it. Come on.
I don't know if we mentioned a playset for Megatron sitting on Lincoln's throne.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned it yet, but basically this film is Megatron's master plan.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
The thing that disappointed me though is that instead of the Digger, they really should have had the Purple Griffin.
Yes.
Oh.
That would have been excellent.
But again, this movie is not for us. It's for...
Yeah.
This part in 3D was awesome. This whole movie...
But see, do you think we could have petitioned them to bring in, like, Carbamia? No. Is that poor taste? I'm sorry.
The thing with this sequence that confused me is... Why were all of those... apparently deactivated Decepticons buried up there on the moon and nobody's done anything about that up till now?
Well, not
where else are you going to put them?
Not only that, but why were they hanging out there and not coming here?
Right, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
The last movie or the first one?
Because they had to be activated by the little trigger button.
They arrived in between movies.
So the Decepticons were hanging. Were they just waiting for Sentinel to get the space bridge?
Yeah, I mean, I think the space bridge thing required Sentinel to be alive, so they had to get Prime to go and get him and, you know, jam the Matrix into him and wake him back up before they check the space bridge.
They needed Prime to die to get the fall in there, so how the hell did that work?
That becomes the question. I do feel like there's a little bit of exposition that I'm missing between the movies, you know, and even though they try to explain, like,
I think there's a little bit of exposition between the movies that Michael Bay missed too.
That's certainly possible, but I don't know. But that's the point that I'm not quite getting. Were the Decepticons there once this Decepticon, once like Megatron figured out that Sentinel was there, and then
the Wizard did it.
I don't know. Again, I require explanation because I'm a fan, and if I would just watch the movie.
Well, okay, now see, I require explanation because I like well-written movies.
Well, that's cumbersome as well.
I mean, even if I was not a Transformers fan to start with, which this movie would not inspire me to become one, make no question of that, but even if that were not the case, I would still expect, okay, the story needs to make sense.
Is that his mom? I don't get that.
Might as well be.
Oh my gosh, it was Soundwave. I do like that he did sort of a breakdance move there, though. That was kind of fun.
Well, Jazz did the same thing back in the first movie.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, he's Jazz, and this is Soundwave, and Soundwave breakdances as well.
Now, you would think that instead of transforming to spit both of them out, he could have just spit Sam out while staying in a car.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been as cool, and he wouldn't have been able to do the breakdance move.
And then how could we confirm it's Soundwave?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I care not for your movie logic. I just want it to make sense.
Oh, well, you've come to the wrong place.
Yes, I have.
This is where we figure out that the Patrick Dempsey in this film is a real asshole.
Well, what? You couldn't tell that by looking at him?
Yeah, I was pretty sure of that in his first scene.
I mean, he seemed kind of dickish, but now you realize that he's a real vindictive asshole.
And here also you realize that his guards must be paid really well, because otherwise I can't imagine they wouldn't let him slip by and give him a good hit across the face at least once.
Yeah. More
And then there's more tentacle rape.
Yay! Yay, tentacle rape!
Fantastic. Well, you know, Sam got in the last movie, so it's only fair that she gets some too.
Right. You know, spread the love.
She better get used to it for her career.
Oh, wow.
You're assuming she'll have a career. I think this will be
well, that
her
depends opinion. On your definition of career.
I believe her previous career was as an underwear model, and I'm sure she can go back to that.
I think she's probably
she's going to get a lot because she is voted the sexiest woman of the year.
By a magazine owned by the same company that was doing the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want a watch like this.
What, one that like taps you? Into your spine and like you know.
Eventually it's going to happen to all of us.
Are you a sadist? I mean,
it's going to happen to all of us.
That's what the remake of Logan's Run is going to look like.
Are you saying you like pain, Nicole?
It depends on the day.
I mean, you do work for the post office.
Apparently, I like to torture myself every day when I had to go to the post office.
Hey, you came here.
So did you.
Yeah. We are all here.
We came willingly. That's what's... Yeah.
Assuming you now waking up in the morning, flagellating yourself before you go to work. Like a priest, no?
It looks like a Shia LaBeouf had one too many to drink the night before. He looks really rough there.
I swear the helicopter was in the first movie. I don't know.
It probably was.
I think that exact scene was in the first movie.
It's just blackout again.
Yeah.
Josh Duhamel's got a lot of ribbons.
I'm sure he probably knows what half of them are.
I got this one for being in the first movie, and this one for being in the second.
I got this one being married to Fergie.
I got this one being in Las Vegas.
This one says Ford on it if you look really, really close.
I will have to say that Shia does do this kind of like
this
odd
is great physical acting right here.
Physical acting, yeah.
Yeah.
And he does do that fairly well.
I thought this was actually a good scene for him.
So all he has to do is assassinate Jim Carrey, and he has a few.
He looks constipated. Poor guy. Give him a laxative.
Gosh. Well, probably shitting money after doing this series.
Maybe he finally had time to stop and watch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh. Oh. You know, I still have not seen that. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Very cheesy.
I would. I'm a pretty big indie fan. I would probably be saddened by that movie, wouldn't I?
Immensely.
Oh. I guess this isn't the time I should tell you. I'm kind of a Shia LaBeouf fan.
Well, you know.
So you like this the same way you ended up liking Green Lantern?
Yeah.
So basically the same logic was applied.
I think Green Lantern is more redeemable than Crystal Skull.
Wow. Okay. Well, I...
Wow.
I will never see Crystal Skull. I will just mark that off the list.
Hey, well, it's a close-up shot of the space shuttle way back
this
like
is
an
the
hour
best
ago.
Part. We got Tyrese coming up here.
Oh, yeah. No. It's the Beckers. Yeah, buddy.
It's top tier with robots.
When I was in the theater for this, when we get to the scene later where they start kicking ass, you know, somebody yelled out "Wreck and Rule."
I actually have my Wreck and Rule shirt on right now.
Yeah, it was
that
me.
That should have been a line in the movie.
My wife got really pissed when I yelled that out.
Well, there's time.
Wonder how many times they had to shoot this scene.
I like the part where like he holds on to his hand too long and Tyrese doesn't punch him in the face. Get the hell off of me.
Probably took Tyrese a lot of restraint not to do that.
I made an absolute fool of myself at BotCon when he appeared.
Oh, God.
And hooray, Simmons isn't dead.
As long as it fell short of like throwing panties on stage, I think you're okay.
It was barely that short.
Okay.
There was a bunch of people around me that claimed not to know me.
That's awesome. And apparently there was something between these two characters.
I just admitted that I wanted to have his kids. What's wrong with that?
Well,
several things.
You and lots of people. Some of them even have vaginas.
about that?
What? I don't know. Aww.
I think these two make the cutest couple.
Wheelie and Brains or Simmons and Charlotte?
Oh, they both are.
Yeah. Man, I love the Wreckers. They're just freaking cool.
And I like the music again for this scene, where it's kind of a mellowed out thing of the arrival from the first movie.
I like that as they're traveling along in their vehicle modes, their NASCAR modes, they still have all the guns strapped on the outside.
That is like such a cheap prop because they really just took the space shuttle and then CG'd on like a bunch of doohickeys and gizmos and stuff.
Are you sure they didn't CG the space shuttle too?
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't. Knowing Michael Bay, he shot that practical and then CG'd it.
I mean, he's got a weigh in with the military and stuff, so.
Yeah, and especially with all the pro-NASA stuff in this movie and how much NASA's, like, begging for budget.
Yeah,
shutting down the program anyway, so I guess they had a shuttle to spare.
Yeah.
It was just going to blow up like the other ones.
I mean, does this shuttle have a name on the side of it?
I can't see it yet.
Yeah, I think I saw it. Is it Discovery? I think I saw it.
I mean, you can see what the name tag is through the window.
I see it, but
I can't
read it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it was Discovery.
My TV resolution is too low to try and read it.
Mm.
Well, I'm just on my computer.
Yeah. The bad thing is Shia actually, you know, the righteous thing to do here would have been to bitch out and just die to save the Autobots. And then it would have been ironic when they actually didn't get blown up later. Like, where's Stan? Oh, well, he died from the robot watch thing. Oh, well, that's a waste. He could have just gone ahead and asked us, and then, well. We'll save the world.
Yeah, but, you know, here's Prime's asshole moment where it's all like, we have no plan. But, hey, we totally do. We're just going to let you all get fucked first.
Hey, that's the most that Optimus in this movie has been like G1 Optimus, because they're like, Optimus, what's your plan? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's Discovery. I think I see a D on the wing.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
Sweet.
That's cool.
I usually have really bad eyesight, and I saw that. But really, I mean, usually Optimus in the cartoon was all like, I have no plan, I have no idea what we're going to do. And this
that was just in the Rebirth where he was senile.
Oh, I guess that's true, and he came back.
It's not like he was doing that on purpose that time.
No, he really had no idea.
Right.
Then we're like, can you just give that back to Rodimus? Because he actually knows shit.
And Leadfoot's robot mode is really ugly now that I see this again.
Well, and if you look at the toy also.
Yeah, but I really want it.
Well, Human Alliance more so than Deluxe.
Yeah, I want Human Alliance.
Yeah. You shouldn't.
I'm going to have to pay a lot to get more than I should to get that later because I can't afford it.
I only got one movie toy this time around. And
you know, honestly, you know, and again, it's like some of the movie toys that aren't the figures in the movie are good, but the Skyhammer.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a really good
one.
Well, I spent most of my trying to find a crankshaft without a cut-off finger.
Good luck with that.
Well, I got it.
I did get Crankshaft. What else did I get? I got the Megatron and Optimus. And Ultimate Optimus. Yeah, buddy.
I've got Sentinel, and he's pretty good.
I love it. I wanted
to get a Shockwave, but...
Yeah, I've missed out on Shockwave, because I have a laser beak, and I want to do the backpack.
Shockwave's pretty okay if you get a chance.
To me, the only redeeming factor for Shockwave would be the laser beak thing, and I don't have either of those toys, so...
Yeah, so you're missing out.
I did, however, get Cyberfire Bumblebee because, of course, he's like Magic Murder Bee.
Magic Murder Bee?
Yes.
Okay. Is there more detail that I'm missing? Or?
No.
All right, then. So, like, at the beginning of this commentary, we're like, actually,
oh,
you
look,
believe this?
It's Starscream. No. I forgot he was in this movie.
So did the writers.
Yeah.
And hey, that's totally not archive footage from other shuttle disasters.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine the outcry if they had done that?
God. Ooh.
And see, even here, they didn't show the shuttle itself getting blown up. It fell away in one piece. It was just the Autobot ship that blew up.
Well, they were in the booster. Isn't that where they said they were?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in the booster.
I'm just saying, though, you know, Starscream shot missiles at it, exploded the Autobot ship and the booster, whatever, but the shuttle itself just fell away. It wasn't hurt.
Oh, well.
Of course, it will crash and smash into a million pieces, but
right.
They didn't actually show it getting destroyed.
Right. The gravity thing.
Yeah.
Usually in a sequence where there's, like, some sort of kidnapping or coercion thing like that, usually the bad guy, usually the good guy would be like, okay, take this off. I did what you asked. And they would go, oh, we'll take it off in time. But here it's like, as soon as he's done, it just bitches out. Just like,
and
okay.
It's never seen again.
Yeah. I'm like.
Yeah, but they realize that Sam has basically no value whatsoever with the Autobots off world.
How long before Hollywood realizes that?
Last year, I think.
That's what Megatron thought in Megatron's master plan, but look how that worked out. And then look how this worked out. See? Megatron in this movie should have learned from his predecessor.
Yes, but they didn't get a chance to talk beforehand.
Wait, did I just notice, does Alan Tudyk have, does Hutch have an ascot on around his neck collar, or is it a tie?
I have no idea. Now that you mentioned it, I did see something, but.
All right, we're going to go. Kick-ass car, too.
We're going to go round up retired people and say a word.
And here we go into Fast and the Furious.
Did I just catch that armored truck said Superfund?
Superfund. Yes.
Oh, my God.
That is the Halo's only on-screen appearance.
Oh, my bay.
Jeez, did her lips just get bigger in this scene alone? Collagen Day.
God. They really are enormous. I mean, scary so.
It looks like someone just punched her in the face.
Yeah.
How do you know that didn't happen?
This is true. Perhaps she's a sadist as well.
See, he's staring at her lips right now, saying, what the hell did you do? What did you do to yourself?
Apparently all like Autobot leaders have this like telekinesis thing.
That's a, must be a Prime thing.
Yeah. It must be magnets, because, you know, how the fuck do they work?
Right. Oh, man.
I love
Hobo
Megatron.
He also calls Megatron a dick and gets to live, so that's pretty
I love Hobo Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
Hobo Megatron with a shotgun.
Yep.
It's great.
I still want to see that movie.
Hobo Megatron with a shotgun?
No, Hobo with a shotgun, yeah.
Hobo with a shotgun, yes. So, I think the Megatron movie would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Megatron makes everything better.
This, like pancakes. Yeah.
You know, one thing they should have done for the Chicago invasion destruction sequence is have it where most of the Decepticons that came through the space bridge ended up taking on police and rescue vehicle alt modes, and partway through, all of the police cars and stuff in Chicago transform and start killing people.
Hmm.
Instead, spaceships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we get Skyline.
Right.
Yeah.
That was.
We wanted a toy of that praying mantis robot.
Yeah.
It's a shame they never gave it to us.
Yeah. Did they ever? Now I think about Power Rangers was like the Ectomorphicon. The toy of that.
The CGI in this is way better, though.
Yeah, I mean, really, you can't. The comparison between the two is like, oh, that CG's really bad. Like, you could
also
do that.
I love their guns where they shoot somebody, the bodies evaporate and the clothes just drift to the ground.
And the bones, too.
Wasn't there an old sketch show that did that, too? Or it's like.
You know what I think it's funny? He cares more about his dogs than anything.
Yeah.
Where's my dog?
Get the dogs out of here.
So
now everything's going to be all right because Coltrane's joining the fight.
That's right. Some bored homies, and we're going to blow up some Decepticons. And then get there and go, oh, shit, no, we're not. We got to go. I've got a thing. Sorry. That's what I love. They show up. They're all guns blazing. They show up, and they're just like, no. We
but
cannot.
In between, we insert Linkin Park's contractually obligated song.
Yeah.
Man. Remember when they were cool?
No.
I love Linkin Park.
Sad truth. The only concert I've ever been to is a Linkin Park concert.
Only concert? Oh,
only
wow.
Only concert ever. Yep. But hey, my girlfriend at the time bought me the ticket, so, you know.
Well, at least you didn't spend money on it.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Oh, and there's that guy again.
And we broke up, so that went well.
Show water.
You and that guy?
Show water.
She broke up with the guy? Yeah.
Ah, Cisco.
Lots of faces on screen in this sequence.
The old guy from the first movie who died, but then came back in the second and is now probably the same guy again in the third.
He's got twin. He's got a twin, man. It happens.
Yeah. He was a different guy in the first movie. Oh, yeah, he has a, it's not, sharp. It's like a collar, like he sprained his neck collar.
Oh,
he's got a crash on the freeway.
And he's got like the ascot or the tie around
it. He's got
it.
Yes, he does have like an ascot around it. Okay, I see what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Because Dutch.
Because Dutch is pimp.
That guy is actually wearing a Motley Crue shirt. Really?
Well, there just wasn't enough product placement yet.
There's never enough product placement. Not in a Michael Bay movie.
Who under the age of 40 wears a Motley Crue shirt?
Well, that guy.
Apparently. That's how you can tell it's a movie. It's not the robots or anything else. It's that there's a guy that's like 28 that's wearing a Motley Crue shirt. That's the part we couldn't believe. That's how we knew it wasn't
I've
real.
I've been to a Motley Crue concert back in the day.
Back in the day.
Dr. Feelgood concert.
Oh my God. stop right there. But yeah, here's the bitch ass sequence when they're all just like, sorry, Sam. Man. Wow. Sorry about your girl. I know that we told you we were going to help you out with all this and stuff, but, damn, we got shit to do. I left a turkey in the oven.
Back in Florida, so the house is probably burning down by now.
House on fire. I can't. There's a lot of things to kill me in there, and I'm not going. I realize I'm ex-special forces, and I fought these robots for, every day.
So you still got a lot of days left till retirement.
You know?
What they need to do with half the movie, they just need to do a close-up of Tyrese.
I'm still drawing that bitchin' pension, but I can't fight big robots anymore.
I got more songs to write.
That's right.
I might tear up my Motley Crue shirt.
I'm going to try to be in another one of those Fast and Furious movies. And I can't do that. Boy, they did not build those very well for getting out of, huh?
Mm-mm. I guess not.
Yeah.
I think that's the point.
And look at his prime, and he loves nothing more than shooting defenseless robots in the head.
So. Murderous prime. Check out that gunshot.
Yeah, for that. Holy crap!
We will kill them all.
Now I'm one of Sam's guys.
Yeah. And they just rip him apart, too. They don't even
Oh, they're the wreckers. That's what they do.
Yep, maybe Raksha had something, going.
Well, we thought that, at least in the second movie, these are Raksha Autobots.
Yeah. These were the people she was talking about when she said that Autobots are bastards.
See what it is? Michael Bay ended up reading stuff from her website.
That's got to be it.
Yeah. He chose some poor research material.
Right.
Here we go. The pristine vehicles. As soon as they transform... You see them damaged.
Yeah, he's still ripping that poor guy up. Man.
And Q gets no close-up transformation shot. Ever.
No. Yeah, they didn't do a transformation sequence for him, did they? Dude, I think he's dead. I think you're good. I guess there's a reason they call them the Wreckers, though. I have to say, though, I was really excited about the Wreckers. Once I was watching the film, because all of the lead up, seeing the toys and the images and stuff, and especially considering that they were NASCAR vehicles, I think everybody's, inkling was that, oh man, they're going to be rednecks. Look at them. They've got mullets and sunglasses and, it's just
beer gut.
People kept saying that. They kept saying that's racist. I'm like, when did NASCAR become a race?
Yeah. I'm sorry. White supremacist is not a race, okay? That's a mode of thinking. But
The best part is? Their minimal appearance in this movie is still more entertaining than Pixar's take on NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly. But so anyway, so when they show up, though, they're
awesome. Irish.
They're British. Sort of Irish and British-ish, They're whatever. British-ish. I wouldn't say they're British, but they're British-ish.
It's Top Gear, but with robots.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes. Thank you. Something different. Something unexpected.
Man, Bumblebee can't fly worth shit.
No.
Well, no, he's a car.
Yeah.
Cars don't know how to fly.
Well, unless it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but that's...
Does anyone else think it's ironic that Rosie looks like the dog?
Yeah.
Which one's which again?
Yeah. Confused.
They have the exact same hair color and everything. Your confusion.
I was really excited when I finally figured out that this was really Megatron's master plan and they were really going to bring Cybertron to Earth. I was like, that's brilliant. it makes no more sense than Megatron's master plan did, and it's amazing.
And because Megatron doesn't have enough head damage yet, Sentinel tries to crush his skull.
Yes.
Or Robo-Skull, whatever.
And when that doesn't work, he takes a few more pieces off.
Now, the amazing thing is that she could see them on the other building, and that's where she gets the idea later about the relationship between Sentinel and Megatron. Somehow she could also hear them. I guess they were yelling? I don't know.
Well, they're like 50 feet tall. I imagine their voices carry quite a bit.
Probably.
Mm.
She has supersonic hearing.
So what you're saying is voices carry.
What? Couldn't hear you.
Mm.
Did anyway. Sam get a gun? Did they give him a gun?
Tyrese gave him a gun, yes.
Oh, okay, I missed that.
Oh, and this makes, what, 5 different transformations for Laserbeak?
He's really good at that.
Well, so much for the gun.
Or Sam really sucks at it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Could be both.
And here we go with, like, the Back to the Future reference. Back to the Future 2? No? Okay.
Well, it's not like that's the only movie that ever did this, either.
No, but it was cool in that movie.
Well, yeah.
All right, now just don't fall off the thing. I have a terrible fear of heights, and anytime there's like sequences in movies where it's like people are way up, I'm like, okay, hang on. All right, you're way up in the air, okay?
Well, it looks like you're way up in the air, but you're probably not at all. So
right. I mean, it's a green screen or whatever, but for my purposes, it looks like you're way high up, so be careful.
See, well, he's a terrible shot with the flying thing, too, because he doesn't hit anyone in there.
No.
Laserbeak's mistake here, too, is not transforming into, like, some tentacle thing, because we established before that Sam is weak against tentacles.
Right. Right. He has a -2 to tentacles.
Yeah.
and there goes Laserbeak.
Yep.
And the ship.
Huh.
Don't land on the people. Okay, you're going to... Oh, don't land... Okay, you didn't. Okay, you missed... You mostly miss the people.
Missed yeah, but
I'm, sure
that
I'm pretty sure that one guy who was underneath the engine probably got set on fire.
Yeah.
Or should have been.
He should have, like, instantly cooked.
Like, no, not cooked. He should have just, like, been... he should have caught fire, been rolling around, you know, in flames until he died.
Yeah, like, Larry, do you smell turkey? Larry? Oh, my God, Larry. So Optimus has the same bitchin' truck trailer, but it's got different equipment now.
Well, it's probably the same thing. You can just transform into a variety of objects.
Right.
Just like
just
the
like Laserbeak.
Yeah, like all the Transformers seem to be able to modularly convert themselves as needed.
Right.
That's all the pop-out weapons work.
Here's a fun drinking game. Watch the battle and take a shot every time Rosie's shoes change.
Ooh. I don't think I have enough liquor.
And really, you know you're going to be running around. Why would you choose 4-inch shills?
Well, because
she's
Michael
not very
Bay.
Smart.
No, Patrick Dempsey chose the 4-inch heels for her.
He's probably wearing a set himself.
Right.
Oh, so wrong.
These are my favorite brand. What are the really expensive heels? I can't remember now. My wife told me about them last week. Well, why am I asking you, Nicole? Like, you wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't wear high heels that much. And see, the thing is, I can't wear cute shoes. My feet are too big, so.
Ah. you strike me as more of like a boots gal anyway. Like
I love boots. Yes, I do.
Like the lace up with the, yeah.
I'm not a high heel girl.
Right.
You have a sense of practicality.
Yeah, because mountain boots are practical in the sense.
Best boots ever are what she wears in Underworld. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure any boots are more practical than high heels.
Yeah, probably. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why is it they only have one shot in movies? All the time, they only have one shot. Don't they come prepared? Jeez.
No. Yeah, it's called...
Well, how dramatic would it be, though, if you hand somebody a weapon and say, okay, this only has 36 shots in it.
Right. You only have 36 attempts to make this. So if you miss, it doesn't really matter. Just try again.
Okay, there's 36 shots in this, but it will probably explode after the first or second try. So
right. Those are your options, really, dramatically. You either get one shot that works, or you get 30 shots and it breaks after the first. So
there you go.
You know.
And who is this kid they zoom in on during the wingsuit thing before they all volunteer? Did he just do some favor for the producer or director or something? How come he gets special treatment?
He probably won a fan contest or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's the team leader.
Yeah. I have no idea.
He's the first one to die.
Yeah.
That's kind of racist. That's
why didn't you see
X-Men? They're not going to kill off Tyrese.
know how long that trailer is. That trailer looks extra long.
That's what she said.
That looks like a normal 53 foot.
Yeah, that looks pretty normal.
Well, it looks longer.
Hey, Shockwave, we almost all forgot about him, just like the producers.
Yeah. But you have to admit
so what you're saying, Nicole, is that you have a bad time estimating length. So
yeah, especially with shiny objects.
Okay, I'm just going to leave that there. Anyway,
they back to the other one-eyed monster.
They did a good job with all the promos and stuff, making it look like Shockwave was the important villain character.
Yeah.
Was this the location from the first movie? I swear.
Yeah. Where Megatron was chasing Sam. Yeah.
And that is a building in Detroit. I remember reading that.
Oh, okay.
Tyrese is taking charge.
You can tell because it looks so old and dilapidated.
Don't get too excited, Nicole.
I'm sorry, it already happened.
Oh, God.
Can't pull back now.
And then Q gives them the power glove.
Right.
Oh, that's Ratchet. Is that Ratchet? No, that's not Ratchet.
No.
Yeah, they're just Ratchet in the background. I forgot.
Ratchet got some.
So did the producers.
Drive the cool cars around, yay.
Those are cool cars.
I love the way the wreckers look here.
Those would be
the perfect cars for the zombie apocalypse.
I want a deluxe Roadbuster with the guns out, damn it.
Yeah, the deluxe version doesn't have the guns, so it's just the Human Alliance one.
He gets the missile launcher, so that kind of comes close.
Yeah. It's kind of strange for any of the toys to not have the guns out, since they don't seem to appear that way at all in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that is a good point. I don't know what's up with that.
Then they just ditch Wheelie and Brains.
It's probably licensing issues.
Yeah. But hey, they saved the day, so that's coming up later.
What do you mean they saved the day? I don't know what you're talking about. I've never watched this before.
Everybody's seen this already. It's okay. Oh. Everybody
this sequence was really, really cool, too. The whole flight suits thing.
Oh, the squirrel suits?
Yeah.
Those are legit, too. Those.
I know. That's what's awesome.
Yeah. Those are real deals.
Oh, it's a shame.
There's a close-up of them again.
And there's a lot of crashing.
Yep.
There's that one shot from the trailer that always had the Inception music over it.
Yes. I do like how they're kind of like insects, like attaching to the side of the thing and stuff. There,
they're getting ready to lay eggs.
Apparently, they can do that now.
Sure. You know,
they've got suction.
Your mom has suction.
I was just trying to leave it for someone else. I knew there was a joke there. I just didn't want to hog it. You know.
Oh, hey, Starscream again.
And look, he's actually doing something.
Yay.
Oh.
All right, Scroll Boys, go.
I still want to do this.
Yes. Die? Because that looks like dying to me.
The thing is, if you're going to go out dying, what a great way to go.
No. No.
Except for that part where there's like a full minute where you can think about how fast the ground is rushing at you.
Right. Yeah.
The ground's coming up really fast.
Oh, well, next.
I've got to give it to Michael Bay, though. I like how he actually used real military to do like these scenes.
Yeah. Well, that's been a staple of these films. I mean, he's had a good relationship with the military. And
all right, out of the three or four dozen guys they had in those suits to start with, it looks like all of five of them made it through to the end of the mission.
Right. So the red shirts, sorry. Yeah, man.
We all know it.
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't look cool, but it's the part where I'm falling that would really scare the crap out of me.
Oh, I think it would be so fun. I just want to try it.
Nah.
Preferably not over a burning, dying city, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole fighting thing and being shot at by robots. I want to pass on that part.
Does look cool, though.
Oh.
I mean, it definitely makes for a cool sequence in the film. Yeah.
This looked really cool in 3D, too.
You have to make sure to not lose your balance, too, because you start rolling over in those things and you're hitting a building, you know.
So another reason not shot to do this over a city.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, this part I wouldn't want to do.
I think I tried to fly right through the building here. Isn't that in a video game? I seem to recall dying a lot trying to do that in a video game. Fly through something like that. I think God of War has 3 has a sequence like that.
Yeah, well, it takes some concentration to thread the needle.
Right.
I'm sure there's a your mom joke in there too.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out, but I wasn't really right on top of it. So,
well, see, that's the thing. If you can't think of a specific your mom joke, you just reference that. You know, there's a your mom joke in there somewhere.
Right. So you all work on that and get back to us.
There's the sugar glass.
And Coltrane's loading up the rocket, yep. And suddenly they decide, oh, it's not going to work. The building's going to fall over.
This was a pretty wacky sequence with the building falling over, of which these guys never managed to really accomplish their mission in the process of doing any of this.
Which makes all their scenes incredibly pointless.
They accomplished the mission by making Bay tons of money.
Right.
That was their mission. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, their mission was to be in the building as it was falling over so that there was a reason to film inside of it. Good job. Yeah. Why is he holding his hand out? That's the part that I don't get. He's like trying to hold his hand out like stable. No, it's not going to help you. They could just blow the building up.
You know what? Tyrese does a really bad job of trying to hide. His shoulders are bigger than those pillars.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're really... And that dude's head is totally sticking up. Like,
I know. Maybe Decepticons are farsighted.
Well, we are just insects to them.
Flesh creatures.
Hey, a scene we probably ripped off from several other movies.
Jurassic Park comes to mind.
Yeah. I gotta give it to Rosie. She knows how to scream.
Yeah, well.
I think she got the job.
I'm sure she's had a lot of experience, you know, pretending to scream in various situations.
I'm just going to leave that one.
Probably for the best.
Okay. And she's back in heels. I think she was in flat shoes earlier.
I know.
And how is nobody injured going across the glass like this?
They've got to get the worst, like, burn on their rear ends.
Yeah.
There's, like, thousands of glass shards flying around.
I'm sure there's a few glass cuts. Now, by the angle that they're falling into there, they should probably break several legs and things.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can stop rolling.
Michael Bay, you know, he defies physics.
Right. That's a quote. Tweet that. He defies physics.
Also, this is going to be like the longest building for as long as they've been sliding down the floor.
Yeah. Michael Bay considers the laws of physics more of a guideline.
Well, this is unfortunate.
Oh, man, that poor guy. Try to land on a Decepticon.
See, this is the part I was talking about where you got that like whole minute where you're watching the ground come at you.
Yeah. It's not even a minute, though. It's not even that long. It doesn't take you that long.
Not from that height, but where they were working with the glide suit.
I really like
the close-up of Shockwave they had there.
Let's see. 32 feet per second squared, and that's probably about...
Oh, he was falling for 5 seconds tops.
Yeah. It's a good thing that Ethernet cable was there. Why does this building have Ethernet?
When you don't have a safety harness, network cable is the next best thing.
Right. You know that Cisco's like, why didn't we sponsor this movie? There's still workers in that building. There's still workers in this building. Like, that's crazy. You, sir, get to the fire. Oh, that's not going to help. Just lay down.
I like this drill. I think that it looks cool in the theater, in the movies, you know.
So what you're saying... So what you're saying is, again, that you like the tentacles.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I do. The thing is, this part
reminds me of Dragon Wars. There's so much about you,
Nightfall. Yeah. This part reminds me of Dragon Wars, though. The worst movie ever created.
That is some kind of building there, considering any part of it's still standing after that worm has eaten most of it.
Well, it is a. This is in. No, this is Chicago. I was going to say, if it was in California, I mean, those are, like, you know, earthquake resistant, but this is Chicago. I mean, those things should fall right over.
Chicago, all it has to be is riot resistant.
That's why you're here, pal.
Look at all that paper. Man.
What it's office like has that much paper?
Jeez.
Hey, look, it's snowing.
Yeah.
Probably really is. I haven't looked outside since we started.
That totally looked like she was on a wire. Okay.
How is the other building not collapsing, too, with half of it leaning on it?
You know.
It's too much before all these buildings in the movie are, like, heavily reinforced.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of them have a bunch of robots walking around on top or inside of them. This one can hold up another building.
Well, the thing is, these buildings are old. You know, they don't make buildings like they used to.
Right, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Diecast Construction's a lost art.
So there's your Flying Optimus, which sort of looks like, but not at all, the Ultimate Optimus, even though Ultimate Optimus is really cool.
Yeah, Well, there's the Flying Optimus you can only get from Japan, kids.
Yeah, really. But you have to use it with Revenge of the Fallen Leader, Optimus. So there's that.
Hey, triple fail.
Yeah. But Ultimate Optimus is pretty awesome, nonetheless. So
see, this
Until
is where I was
taken
hoping
down
that,
by wires.
Yeah.
This is where I was hoping Shockwave was just going to come and kick ass.
I was hoping that for the whole movie, and it's never happened.
The thing is, this is what I don't get. He's hung up on all these wires, right? How many blades did he show at the beginning of the movie? Why couldn't he cut himself down?
Yeah, how is he not cutting himself free from this? I mean, he's got a blade weapon in his arm, which
this
is
just
free.
Proves this just proves that Optimus is an attention whore. He wants people to notice him.
You're being a whiny bitch, Optimus.
Are you a wizard? Look, they're all wizards.
I know. He's making them float all over. All over the world, these have been deployed. We know because we can see different parts of the world. That's the worst CG of all the movies. God, that was really bad. That was really bad for just a second there. I was like, wow. Now, again, why are we bringing Cybertron here? And why is that a good idea?
Because
that's the master plan.
Right.
Megatron's lonely. He wants to invite his friends.
Well, if Megatron's lonely, he just needs to wait for somebody to invent a robot ninja for science.
Yes. Nightbird.
I don't think, you know, Megatron's is Nightbird's type, though.
What? No. They totally got it on.
Right. Let's Megatron is Megatron and Nightbird is a toaster.
Yeah. It's like the Decepticon version of a real doll. It's like the Decepticon version of a real doll, you know?
Right. With a great big slot that you stick things in. That's the whole point of the joke.
Exactly.
Does that one also cost a nickel?
Real dolls? Those are expensive.
And I imagine a robot ninja for science would be pretty expensive, too.
Yeah. Oh, Starscream.
Yay. God, I bet a Decepticon real doll would cost a lot.
Sadly, I think there's a market for that.
How many ports do you think they would need?
Oh, God.
Well, it's okay, because you can just add in a hub later.
Right. Extension hub. you can tell how exciting the movie is, kids.
Oh, yeah, I remember Starscream spitting in 3D, too. Yeah, that really added to the experience.
It's great.
What? Spitting. I never understood that.
It's like a, well, you know, because
do they not have a dental plan on Cybertron?
No. Yeah.
Dental plan, Starscream needs braces.
Yeah.
Use the gloves, Sam.
Oh, now Q needed braces.
Yeah.
And that one scene earlier was, ugh.
If only he could get an eye patch, though, that would be sweet.
That would be awesome.
And how does this not kill Shia?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, don't you know what happened to Gwen Stacy?
Wow. No?
There's a Macy's promo there.
Like, yeah.
What, in killing Gwen Stacy?
No, no, there's a big, huge Macy's logo.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, you never know these days.
What I don't understand is why Starscream just doesn't, like, fly off completely, but...
Because Starscream.
Mm. Yes. Now, hit him with the cyber dagger. The exploding cyber dagger thing.
Which Q literally pulled out of his ass.
Yeah.
Man. You know, I just get the...
Jammed it in his other eye.
I just picture Kill Bill at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Eyes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, I love that he's just, like, ramming his face on the ground. That's just awesome.
And yet Shia still won't let go of the damn power glove.
Yeah. No, I have the power.
It's so bad.
And I mean bad good. Because it was the 80s.
Now finally it just, what, cuts or something?
Yeah. Yeah, he cuts the cable. But, of course, he falls like three stories, so that wouldn't kill them. Oh, wait, get caught because they were suspended in air for like 10 minutes.
Plus, a three-story fall wouldn't automatically kill you.
No, they have to break a leg or two.
Yeah.
And Bumblebee has to transform to catch them and immediately transform back.
Right.
Because Bumblebee's the man.
And yeah, because Camaro paid a lot of money for this.
Right.
GM in general. I mean,
yeah.
Probably got most of it back, though. Those damn things are everywhere.
Yeah.
They're fairly affordable.
Yes. GM spent our tax dollars to make this movie. Thanks.
And maybe that's why they went bankrupt.
Yeah. We were too busy making Transformers. We're a car company? Nice landing.
Hey, they're just that's as good at flying as Bumblebee.
Yeah. Equally as good.
I like this line, though.
Now, they crash land the thing in the ship, and nobody notices, and they just get unabated move towards the cockpit. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
Like they said, it is a total cluster.
Yeah. Cluster, shut your mouth. Now, he doesn't have the neck brace now. That's a good question. In 3 hours,
he got better.
He got better. I got
somehow
better.
The Autobots all got captured off camera, including Bumblebee in like those last 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah, because he drove into the deal and then got captured because you see him drive off. But it says here in the script that he was captured. Oh.
Well, what do you think?
Soundwave's just that good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're coming out of the water.
Because we haven't shown off a new military toy in the last 20 minutes.
That's right, rebreathers. For the win. They've only been around since the 90s.
And they don't even have any new cool guns to show off.
Nope. Well, they're not... Unfortunately, the military is not getting funded anymore, so...
So instead, we'll let Dutch show off.
Yeah, literally, he just, like, ran in there to get captured. Maybe there's a deleted scene we don't know about.
Well, we have that coupon for the Blu-ray in the stupid DVD release.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, and here we go.
Here's the line that had
everybody pissed off about Sentinel.
Yeah, the other completely unnecessary
Star Trek
reference. Like, really? Did we need that? Did that add anything?
Of course.
I think
it's actually in Leonard Nimoy's contract that he has to say it.
You know what? Leonard Nimoy would roll his eyes at that. I mean,
he probably did.
He probably, do I really have to say this?
I'm retiring. This is a lot of money. Fuck it.
On the other hand, he might have been more okay with this than what he had to do in Star Trek.
Well,
this is 2009 Star Trek, I mean.
Yeah. I don't think I can do this. You're paying me what? Sure. What time?
I can retire and take no more convention visits.
Yay. I love that little Biff with Dutch. He's like, it's difficult, but not for me. Okay.
I want more Dutch.
Yeah, however much Dutch there was in this movie, it definitely was not enough.
Hey, it's Barricade.
Oh, yeah. He's still alive.
They resurrected him.
Kind of not.
Couldn't bother to have him in the second movie. But I still don't understand why it's a good idea to bring Cybertron right there, though. I mean, and don't you think, like, within a solar orbit would have been close enough?
And it doesn't have any physical effects on the planet like it did back in 1984?
Because, you know, the humans need to see it. They need to see who's in charge.
Yeah.
There's no physical effects yet because only a tiny piece of Cybertron is there so far.
Right. Because even the moon... It still doesn't make sense. Never mind. I just noticed speakers on Soundwave, too. Those speakers are like thumping.
And Soundwave speaks normally, so he can remind you why we got Frank Welker for this.
Right. Well, the funny thing is that he does use the Soundwave voice, but it's the unmodulated. So it just sounds
Dr.
like
Claw. Dr. Claw.
Which is not entirely wrong in this scenario.
No.
Yeah.
Now, in the comics, again, Q survived and Dino died. So... I like Mirage's design better, so I'm glad he lived.
I don't really care about either one of them.
Yeah. It's like, I don't... Wow, that character just died, and I didn't care about him at all.
Right.
Bumblebee, I would have been like, oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, but they're not going to kill him.
Yeah, no. In the first movie, when the first time I saw the first movie, I honestly was like... getting really nervous about B. I'm like, no, they can't get rid of B. I really was about ready to cry at the theater. I'm like, no.
He's not talking.
The second exploding stick just doesn't work.
Yeah. So the other thing worked perfectly, and now this doesn't work. So it's like, that's the whole one-shot thing. You get as many shots as you need, but it only works once.
Right.
Boy, it takes that gun a long time to charge. That's not really efficient.
And the true heroes of the movie are Wheelie and Brains. Hooray.
That's basically what we learned.
So, how awful is that?
Do you think they survived or do you think they died?
That's a good question. I'm going to hope they made it.
They're little. They could probably survive that.
That's what I was thinking. They probably strapped themselves down somewhere and...
God.
They could swim out again. And wow, Bumblebee goes right for the face too.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, I mean, again, we talk about, like, these movies, but it's like, man, they really are very violent. I mean, it's like, you would never be able to do this stuff with people. You can only do this stuff because it's robots.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
well, you gotta hurt Soundwave.
You can do this stuff with people, but you get a completely different rating and type of movie.
Right, exactly. It's probably a B-film.
See, also, the Saw franchise. You really shouldn't, because it sucks.
Right.
We just saw brains gnawing on some wires and some mechanics. Is that considered like cannibalism between robots and machines?
No, because that's no different
than
like
equivalent to ripping out somebody's trachea with your teeth.
No, it's like people eating cows. Like it's just another machine. It doesn't mean it's like a transformer. If he was doing that to a transformer, then yeah. But you know that's no, you know, correlation wise, it's no different than eating a chicken.
I want chicken.
These guys are really good with stairs. They just climbed like 20 flights of stairs in 10 minutes.
Hey, they are military. That's what I want. That's why we have them in shape and run a lot.
Yes, the men and women willing to die so we can have low gas prices.
Hell yes.
Okay, so when does the low gas prices thing kick back in?
Exactly.
6 years ago.
It could be worse.
Retroactively low.
You yell at you and throw you down. Does that make sense? Shockwave has still not really done a damn thing in this movie.
He looks good. He looks pretty on screen.
All the robots are there for anyway.
Yeah.
And what purpose does this jumping serve?
To get them, they climbed all the way up the building so that they could jump out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And why did the robots just not shoot them down?
Because they shot their eyes out. See?
But
now
they jumped before they started shooting.
Well, they didn't see them.
Seen the people?
No, they wouldn't have seen. They would have had to look up. See, this point, this part actually makes sense. Like, they jumped out of the plane, and they wouldn't have looked up to see them. So they shoot their eyes out before they would have seen them, and then they all come in and shoot them up and kill them. See, this actually makes sense.
It does?
It sort of does.
As much sense in anything that this franchise can make.
It's made more sense than some of the other things that's happened in this movie. Aw. Crap, you got your parachute thing. Aw. And then the humans just kill him. It's just like...
Which just shows how unimportant Shockwave is to the entire movie.
Yeah. I mean, his tentacle things were the coolest things.
Oh, well. Maybe next time.
He had his one line. Didn't you hear him?
No.
He called out Prime's name.
Okay. That was it.
Yep. Just in case you didn't notice, the wreckers are Impalas.
Well, they are NASCARs, after all.
If you didn't, you know, notice the big name on the front there.
Right. But that's a NASCAR thing, I think. I don't know.
Oh, there's Ratchet's line for the movie.
Yeah, he hasn't got as much showtime since the first
movie. Well, he did get to go to the moon.
This is true. He didn't really say much.
But he was there.
But he was there.
You know, this is what I'm thinking. Is there a Transformer still on Cybertron? They must really be thinking, what is going on here? they have to be the most confused, you know, individuals in the universe. What's going on, man?
Yeah. Now, the appearance of Cybertron in the sky is actually really, it's really cool looking, well done.
Yeah.
But then there's still that thing of, okay, why isn't that tearing the planet in half?
Yeah.
Well, that would be in. See, in the script, it didn't call for. So.
Optimus comes flying in, and oh, hey, it's long haul again.
Yeah, and we just got Sam's obligatory yell out to a Transformer for the movie.
Yep.
And hey, he remembered he had a sword, too.
Yeah.
He
didn't remember that when he was hanging down on the
wire. Didn't he just cut up the one Constructicon they cut up in the second movie to make parts for Megatron?
They were clones
and stuff.
But there were several Constructicons in the...
I'm also surprised we never got a new variation of Prime with the Knuckles.
Yeah. When do we get that?
Knuckle Prime.
Probably too subtle of a change.
Mm. Now, how would you like to be that one on the edge that was like half in and half out? And just, like, this sucks!
Which half?
I got the worst of both worlds, literally.
Yeah. Front half? I don't know. That is a big sword. I'm just going to say that.
He's got a big shield, too. Yeah. Is he compensating?
Probably.
Well, he is pretty old.
Mm-mm. That is a bitchin' axe.
Apparently, like the axe.
Apparently they watched War for Cybertron and realized, oh, he has a big bitchin' axe. We should get that.
You should throw that in.
Yeah. Huh. Surely we can make a toy of that later.
And they sort of did.
Right. And then Hasbro forgot they were a toy company. And
although perhaps not wrongly so, considering how poorly the first wave even sold.
God, it's really, really sad.
Now, is this... Do you think that's Shia doing his own studs there?
Fuck
no.
It looked like him. It looked like him.
No. Yeah, but they can CG their heads onto other people. So... And it's hard to tell the difference between that. I remember back in the day when it was like, oh, yeah, that's definite. Like the Star Wars prequels, you know, the first couple times they did that, it was like, oh, ugh.
You know, anytime I see these huge fight scenes in a Bay movie, I wonder if he just employs homeless people, and then if they get murdered, no one will notice.
No, he employs stunt actors, and if they die, then no one notices.
And there's this weird first-person shot when someone's firing on Sentinel.
Yeah. I mean, because remember there's that girl from this movie that, like, got her brains knocked out.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, I don't know what sequence they were filming when that happened, but... Now, I have to say
she
that...
She wasn't even one of the stunt performers.
You know, I thought she was. Oh, I guess she was just, one of the extras or whatever.
Those are the dollars you can't put in your pocket.
I think she was supposed to be moving some of the vehicles around. She wasn't supposed to be on set at that point.
Okay.
That's what ended up happening with that.
You know, I got to say for this Patrick Dempsey bad guy, usually those characters are notoriously spineless, but this guy's got balls.
Yeah.
You know, he actually goes in there and tries to make things happen.
And there's Carly with an authentic live-action performance of Dull Surprise.
Because it wouldn't be Transformers without Dull Surprise. It's sad that that's become a signature Transformers look now, even for the films.
Thank you, Pat Lee.
Yeah.
I believe you mean to say thank you, Funana.
Well, I couldn't pronounce it.
Man, well, that doesn't stop you any of the other times.
True.
But yeah, I mean, he really it's like he's invested everything in this and he's going to make it happen. Where most bad guys at this point would have been like, you know what? I bought the wrong team. I'm just going to run now. He still tries to bring Cybertron through. Mm-hmm. And here's where Carly actually is like, oh, she's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
This is where she actually earns her paycheck.
Yeah. Where it's like, wow, the Megan Fox never would have done this. I'm assuming these characters are indistinguishable from the actors that play them. So I'm not, usually I'm kind of an acting snob where it's like, they're the character. But I assume that both Megan Fox and Rosie are like indistinguishable from these characters that they're playing. So
they are.
Sentinel's bitch. That's my favorite.
It's kind of sad, though, that this is the heel turn moment caused by her.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, though, in a way, because it's just like...
It does actually sort of speak to Megatron's character.
It does. Yes. That's the whole thing. It's like, that's Megatron being Megatron, because... he had that nagging feeling, and somebody actually said it out loud, and he's like, damn it, she's right.
Right.
And I'm very happy that, Megatron actually knows that that saying means Sentinel's right. Bitch. Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, there's not a lot to do out in Africa besides sit there and punch elephants, so.
Right. Yeah, Igor can only entertain him for so long.
This is a pretty cool fight scene between Prime and Sentinel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to get himself some face here in a minute.
Well, somebody is.
Rips his arm off, though. I do have to say, I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. He took his arm off.
Shows you how powerful Sentinel can be,
Yeah. It's just a robo-flesh wound.
Right.
it's harder to take face with only one arm.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah.
There can only be one.
Yes.
Until there's a robo hobo with a shotgun.
Knock the helmet off.
Shotgun, love it.
You just punch Sentinel in the robo balls too. Yeah, Megatron is a bitch.
So here's the thing I can't figure out. I'll take a vote on this. Does Sam kill him? Does he die?
I hope so.
Does Dylan die?
Yeah, I don't know if he... I couldn't tell if he...
I would call that dying, personally.
I would say, he pretty much rearranged his face right there, and then he got a good electric blast. I'd say he's pretty well...
I would assume so.
I don't know, it's like, for some strange, guttural reason, it's like, I don't want to believe that he died, because I don't like the idea, no matter how many Decepticons have been killed, and no matter how much that character deserved it, I really just don't like the idea of Sam killing somebody for some reason.
Well, it was accidental. It was
He hit him in the face with concrete. I think that's pretty,
But it's also an act of war. They are at war pretty much.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even regardless of that, it's like I still have this, childlike vision of,
I totally get where you're going with that, but to me it still looks like, okay, he died, whether it was from the impact of the concrete thing or just happening to fall into the space bridge podium thing.
So we can say that he died, but Sam didn't mean to kill him.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's okay.
And somehow destroying the one pillar reverses the polarity of the neutron flow and pulls Cybertron back through the space bridge.
Yes.
Along with most of the ships.
All right, let's pour a little bit out for our homie Megatron.
Does anyone else feel bad that Megatron died?
A little bit.
You just helped save your Optimus's butt. And
yeah,
oh, I do like the payoff line for it. Who would you be without me? It's time to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that part was cool, but then finding out how it worked in the novelization, this just feels kind of empty and cold.
I think I would have liked that ending better.
What happened in the novelization?
Something like Megatron tells Prime that he's going back to Cybertron to try to rebuild anyway, even without, you know, destroying the Earth in the process, and they just go their separate ways.
See, that would have been great. It wouldn't have worked, mm-hmm. but it would have been great.
Right.
I mean, that would take way too much time and explanation and actually require, like, the Transformers to be a character.
And
so,
not so murder freaks.
Right.
And speaking of which...
you know, a lot of these, you know, the previous films sort of had, like, a denouement where it's, like, they had a little bit of the wrap-up and then it was, like, later and everybody was fixed up and okay. And this movie, not so much. They're just like, okay, we're done.
Did you notice that when Bumblebee transformed, he went from that pristine car, and they were actually adding in, like, the scuff marks and stuff?
That's one of those things is, like, my brain has now blocked out. I got so used to it for the first movie. It's like, okay, they're going to be pristine cars and transform into scuffed-up robots. Prime could transform into a pristine truck right now, even with the armor.
And he would.
Oh, yeah. Ratchet can patch him up again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they can put the arm on. That's okay.
But, okay, like, in the cartoon, wasn't there one time that Prime lost an arm and transformed and half the truck cab was missing?
Was that on Gator? Yeah, that's during the Gator. What is that? Steel City.
Yeah. And then they used his arm as the weapon.
Yeah, City of Steel.
I'm sorry, that's Steel.
But, I mean, you get that in... That wasn't even an ACOM animated episode, which are shit. And
it wasn't?
Expect-
I thought it was.
You can expect that detail in that, but you don't expect it at all with this.
Bumblebee might need those. I'm just going to say. Had a lot of spare parts just floating around.
Bumblebee doesn't need those. He took those off of some of the Decepticons he slaughtered.
Oh, okay. Like trophies?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like he's putting some Decepticon sphincter on Carly's finger.
That's awesome.
I'm sure she'll get used to that.
When a Transformer sees it in horror, like, ooh, that's a sphincter. There you go, kids. Directed by Michael Bay, in case you didn't know. I mean, all in all, I mean, I do have to say, like, again, it's that weird sort of, like, hypnosis thing where it's like when I was watching the film in the theater, you know, the first time, and even... Like, just watching it straight through and not, you know, doing a commentary or something, it still feels like a fun movie, you know? It's like...
It is a fun movie. I had a fun time watching it.
It's a bad film, but still a fun movie.
Exactly.
All of them are like that when you get right down to it.
Well,
yeah,
I think
I said at the time was, if you don't like this, you don't like action movies.
Exactly, yes.
So
because
it's purely a mindless action movie.
Right.
And it's okay. You don't have to like that.
No. But, you know, it's like, I think in terms of the plot is not so, you know, the second film seemed like there was this complicated deal with a lot of different elements going on.
It's called Rider Strike.
And, yeah, well, that. Exactly. But I think it that sort of weighed the story down to where you were worried about those plot points. And so it's like when it didn't add up. It was sort of jarring. But this film didn't really have a lot of depth in that way. So it didn't have anything to get bogged down in, really. And I don't think that's
except
a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's bad to not get bogged down in a lot of details in an action movie. I mean, you know. Like, what do you need to know to watch Die Hard, right? They're trying to steal money. That's really all you need to know. Don't worry about why they broke in.
I didn't even know that part. I just know that it's Bruce Willis beating guys up.
That's really all that matters about the movies.
And all that matters about this is Optimus Prime killing dudes.
Exactly.
Their faces.
That Bryant is the entire reason anyone went to see this.
Exactly. So it's a good fun movie, and you know, is it a fan service? I think in some ways, even this. I mean, this does have a couple of decent fan service points. I mean, again, the plot is basically recycled Megatron's master plan, and certainly the plot of that makes no more sense than this. So,
yeah, my fan service was they got Tyrese in it. That was mine.
That's not really a fan thing.
Yeah, it's for me.
Transformers thing, anyway.
It's a different kind of fan.
It's a different thing. Kind of fan thing.
That's all they needed for me to sell this movie.
Well, this film is 10 times more entertaining than anything by Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes Company.
God. And if you want to see some more recent Michael Bay work, then you can see the trailer for the new Need for Speed game. Did he do the game? Did he direct the game or just the trailer for the game?
I think he just directed the trailer.
That's so weird, isn't it? Yeah. Does that sound weird?
If you look at the trailer, it's completely obvious even without them saying so.
Yeah, also direct a Victoria's Secret commercial?
Yeah, he directs a lot of commercials. That must
be how he got hooked up with Rosie.
Probably.
And you mean that in every possible way, don't you?
Well, I doubt he had Rosie over to wash his car, but...
Well, I mean, another point, too. I mean, come on, her character is Carly. So, you know, that's a Transformers, you know, G1 reference there, so...
Yeah, but it really had nothing to do with her character.
No, because Carly
she didn't have one.
Because Carly in the like TV series was the word I'm looking for. Smart.
Well, she was. She wasn't. She like in college, but she was still high school age. Or
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah. She was advanced placement.
That's the whole. That was the whole fun thing. Is actually she was really smart, and Spike
have
was
been that smart. She gave birth to Daniel.
Well, that's. Got that from his dad.
That was just a moment of passion. You know?
That apple didn't fall very far from the tree, you know. So,
you know, they were in the backseat of Bumblebee. Blaster was playing some Barry White, and things just kind of happened.
It's got to be awkward for Bumblebee, didn't it? Like, hey, what are you? Oh, no. Oh, God. Again?
Whereas Gloomy Bumblebee just doesn't care.
Right.
And in those days, they didn't have Sari around to explain things.
Oh, you're getting the Uber fan service out of this commentary if you're still watching through the credits.
But one other thing I want to say, the difference between this and Revenge of the Fallen, I think, tried to expand on the mythos of the movie universe itself.
Mm-hmm. Which was a mistake.
Given they had no actual writers working on it, yes, that was a bad idea.
Well, and I think, you know, the other thing is that this film, you know, the first movie was... Orsi and Kurtzman, and you know they carried over into the second film, and then added. I always feel bad because I can't remember his name, but the guy that actually wrote this film, and we assumed that it was that guy that did all the screwed up, you know, dirty jokes and stuff. We assumed that at the time, but now that when they ditched Orsi and Kurtzman and it was just him doing this movie, and all those things went away, you kind of go, oh,
right.
Right. Now we know where that came from.
But, I mean, if they would have done something on the same level as Dark of the Moon in terms of how deep the story tries to go, if that would have been Revenge of the Fallen, it would have been a lot better received, I think.
Yeah.
But then Orzai and Kurtzman are going on to do Prime, which I've at least found entertaining.
What have they actually done? I mean, they didn't write any episodes.
They did executive producing.
Yeah, I think, you know, and sometimes executive producer just means like,
nothing.
Yes, they put your name on it. So
they did
I think,
copy and paste a couple of bits from the movies, though.
Like look at Stargate SG-1. That had Richard Dean Anderson credited as an executive producer, but what do you think he actually had to do with production of the show?
Yeah.
You know.
That meant he took a little bit of a pay cut to keep the show on TV.
He contributed money to the initial production.
Right.
That was all his production side involvement was at that point.
Right. And I think the same is true for Orsi and Kurtzman. I think they're trying to lend some like film credibility to Prime, which it doesn't really need, by attaching them to it. But I don't really feel their involvement in Prime. I mean, I don't see a lot of things in Prime that feel like they're particularly like Orsi and Kurtzman sort of stuff. So, but I mean, I haven't seen any, you know, Transformers humping people's legs. So
we're all thankful for that.
Yes. Immensely.
Dear God. So it was fun. I mean, like I said, you know, yeah, there's a bunch of plot holes, but.
But it's a Transformers movie.
I think overall.
And it sounded like, you know, we were taking the piss out of the movie the whole time, but we had fun with it, you know?
Well, I think as Transformers fans, I think we would be amiss if we didn't.
It wouldn't be a Transformers movie without Transformer fans bitching about it.
Exactly.
it's the enjoyable kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of a Roland Emmerich movie.
And the fact that we actually had things to say consistently through the whole run of the movie with no considerable silences is actually probably better than we did for either of the previous two.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and like I said, not everything that we said was bad. I mean, there was definitely, you know, good things in this movie, good fun things in this movie.
Yeah,
so
got the Wreckers.
So heck yes, Wreck and Rule. They should have used that line. That's the only regret.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
They just
would have taken 10 friggin' seconds.
Wreck and Roll. Anyway, so that's it. That's our commentary. I'm JD, Nicole, Paladin, XV.
Thanks so much
for tuning in. Maybe we'll see you in another movie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So long.
Probably not.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.